week, the team behind Rage 2 lean into Walmart Canada's leak with some advice in all its pastel spray-painted glory. This is just one embargo that turned lemons into lemonade. Stay tuned for the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 774. Oh, title's wrong on Twitch. For this April the 28th of 2019, my name is Rob Roberts, and joining me here in studio, welcome back to the show this week, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hello, how are you? You had a week off, and how'd everything go with that?
It was really good. It was the 40th anniversary for the San Francisco Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and it was also our conclave, so we had nuns from all over the world. I had a super fun time hanging out with French nuns. They were
good.
Cool, and we actually had a Seder for Passover in the middle of Hamburger Mary's.
Oh, that's really cute.
It was a really fast Seder, and I had been holding onto the bag of stuff through, like, the Pink Moon ritual and all kinds of stuff that was happening. And we just had a great time. It was really fun. I didn't go on, like, some of the big events, but I went out for what I could. And then I had my birthday on Friday last week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I went to the Cherry Blossom Festival and got way overwhelmed with humans. But I went to look at the paper doll exhibits and watched JD play Karuta. And I ended up kind of playing a little bit with him over his shoulder just because I could read decently.
Sure.
And what's funny is that the people there, you can read? I'm like, a bit. See that much?
Bit, yeah.
It's enough to squeeze Pikachu's head. But yeah, it was pretty fun. We had a good time. It was great hanging out with JD. I made good friends with their roommate, Connie.
Yeah.
She gave me a Lolita dress.
Oh.
That fits me perfectly. It's beautiful.
How fun. It's nice to make new friends through friends and all that.
I wore full Lolita at the park, at Dolores Park.
I mean, in a way, you and I became friends through mutual friends at the time. So,
yeah.
Hey, it's a meeting friends through friends is the best way to do
stuff.
It.
Nord stuff.
Also, a friend that we met around that same time many years ago. Say hello to Techmaster Loki here in studio with us.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Are you enjoying this lovely soundtrack we have coming from Next Door's party?
Yes. Okay. Someday I'll be invited to the party.
So here's the deal, which, by the way, Darsaga, we can't see Loki a little bit when you lean too far forward, just so you know.
We don't need to see me. It's fine. You saw me
last week.
I'm
leaning back most of the time. I'm just working on shit.
But here's the deal, and I hope it's not picking up on the mics. I don't think it is because the mics gain, like we usually, and you see this on Twitch, we have to get really close to the mics. So I don't think the music, but let me tell you, like, if you were sitting in this room, like, you could pretty much, like, hear the song, like it was playing softly on the TV or something, like... Our neighbors are having some type of raging party next door. I don't know what there is to celebrate. I don't know if it's like Game of Thrones or Avengers Endgame.
Everybody's dying! Woo! No, I think it's probably just like, maybe it's an early Cinco de Mayo.
But like, I literally, like right at the end of Bobby's show there, right before he called us, I actually had to send Bobby a message that says, don't call me yet because I need to go next door. We have like an urgent situation. Because it was even worse. Like it was louder a minute ago. And, like, I knew, I'm like, Jamie's closest to the window. It's going to drive her bonkers.
They can't hear the music.
She sits down.
Especially since I've been fighting off a headache all day.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to go over. So I went over there, and, like, the fence was wide open. So I just walked right back there, invited myself to their party. And it was just like, hi, I'm the neighbor. We're trying to do some recording, you know, and I asked nicely. And they did, I mean, it's still loud, but they definitely turned it down from where it was at. But, yeah, good. I'm glad you guys in chat can't hear it. And, of course, we
just... You don't want to hear this shit.
I know. It's just... Boom, boom, boom. Anyway, of course, we do tape live at Twitch TV, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern every week, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And he's always kind enough to have us on at the very end of the show, even when I have to tell him, hey, hold on a minute. I have to go be that crazy old man that yells at the neighbors to get to turn down that racket. So
they're on the roof. I mean,
are they up on the roof?
They were on the roof. Oh, yeah,
is that where they smoked their marijuana?
No, they were dancing.
They were because they were, you dancing, know, on the roof.
Because, you know, it's a party and we're crazy. I hope they die. You know.
No, don't. We don't. I don't. I don't need a scene over at the neighbor's house.
Oh, you don't need a scene.
Yeah.
Girl, I can make a scene.
Anyway,
I will
you
make
are
the
making
scene.
A scene over there. What do you need to tell the Twitch? And I apologize to the podcast folks because you can't see all this vibrant color and like tissue paper and cards and all these things. That so You're not wrapping your own gifts.
No.
Already passed.
So and y'all need to sign the card for Mama. But
I will on a break. Not while we're trying to do a show.
It's Charlotte's birthday,
uh-huh.
as in the Mills little girl.
Yeah,
she's gonna be one, so of course she won't remember any of the shit. But I got her a little cute toy and some sensory goods, and I got stuff for Mom too because Mama could probably use some chocolate.
Yes. Oh, that's very kind of you.
She works really hard and really. I usually say, like, the first birthdays are really more for Mama and Daddy than the baby, because the baby is going to go,
remember.
Ooh, I can smash this, mm-hmm. and then that's it.
I think she had mentioned something, too, about not to, like, spoil everything at this upcoming party. Sorry if you're listening. But I think she mentioned that the baby was getting their own cake. I think this is the thing they do. Like, you get a cake, a little, like, it's like the one slice you might buy at the supermarket,
yeah.
and that's specifically for the baby to smash. While everybody else eats the real cake.
Well, right. You give them a cake to eat. Usually it's, I think we've done like a cupcake or like a smaller cake. But yeah, because they're babies and they have no motor control and they're going to smash it into their face.
Sure.
So it's just like, oh, look how gross he is.
Or take all the pictures to show them when they're 18 and put in the high school yearbook.
Yeah, sure.
That's still a thing people do, right? Or is that my show my age again?
We never did that in my yearbook.
Really?
No, they did it in our yearbook, and no one gave a shit.
My mom always threatened to put the fig leaf picture in the yearbook. She always said, I'm going to put the fig leaf picture in the yearbook if you don't behave, because I guess they, you know, because this, I mean, now it sounds like kind of, but in the 70s, this is what people did. When I was like a year old, I was running around the backyard completely buck-ass naked, and somebody decided to take a picture of me with just a little fig leaf. Holding up. So, yeah. So, luckily, that picture did not get put in the yearbook because, you know, Travis Donovan would have put it all over the air when he had a show. So, that picture is probably still at my parents' place. And if I have anything to say about it, we'll be burned. But I was a year old. Come on. So, they picked a different picture instead. Probably something, I think, me on the computer at 5 years old. And there's a picture of me at 5 years old sitting next to the Commodore 64 being such a nerd.
I just had the default senior picture that we had to take next, leaning against a tree, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have anything like that. They put us in these, like, half-dress things from the waist up.
Uh-huh.
And the men in, like suit bibs.
Hmm.
And took our picture with that. And it was just in front of, like, some stupid 90s background screen. But I was like, I don't care because it's black.
It was goth. That's was all you goth. Needed. All right. Anyway, we are, of course, a show that talks about video games. Believe it or not. I mean, it's a long show, though, so sometimes we get into our personal lives, too. We talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. So let's get into some video game talk.
And I was going to say, and besides my senior year, I was working on yearbook staff, so none of that shit would have slid by. Anyway.
Well, okay, my senior year, a video game that came out that everybody was talking about was Mortal Kombat on the Super Nintendo. And that's when they replaced all the blood with sweat, right? So here we are so many years later. Well, that would have been like 96. And now here we are. Maybe that was even like 95. Might have been before my senior year. But here we are all these years later now in 2019. And we are now on the, if you can believe it, 11th Mortal Kombat game came out this week. Mortal Kombat 11.
I watched the whole story mode.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been kind of playing that on Twitch, the story mode. I know Alan's kind of been watching the story mode as well, which... that must be a thing that developers don't like
so much.
The
story was so convoluted, so I was just like, thank you. I kind of dug how they did it, because the rest of this, I was like, what the hell were you thinking in all the previous Mortal Kombats? I'm like, so what were you thinking? So well, I'm pleased with this one.
The last Mortal Kombat game I really played was 9, or the reboot, if you will, that they just called Mortal Kombat. I liked how they kind of redid the story, and you went through the first three games again, but it was with a twist and... the game is how old at this point? I'm not going to be spoiling anything. Basically, Raiden has a vision, and so it kind of goes back, and small corrections happen that cause this, like, you know, that butterfly effect sequence of events that change things.
We turned the blood to sweat, and then it just went right from there.
So anyway, those of you guys who have been listening to Orange Lounge Radio for a while know, like, this last, like, I played Mortal Kombat 9, and I was like, okay, this is fun. It's a little nasty, but whatever. And then around the time of this Mortal Kombat X, which the 10th game, and they called it X, even though I know that's one of Jamie's pet peeves, but...
Well, no, because when people talk about an iPhone X, it's an iPhone 10 in marketing.
Right. But...
Or Final Fantasy 10.
But in the case of NetherRealm, they said, we know it's Mortal Kombat 10, but we're calling it Mortal Kombat X. So they, like, specifically said, this is the name. So that was the game when I started to see the fatality. So I was like, all right, look, this is a bit much. So I kind of, I ended up just kind of.
That was when you turned into your mom.
I also just kind of just ended up passing on the game. I didn't. So the 11th game came out, and, you know, Alan really loves this stuff, and he'll show me the YouTube. He'll make me watch the YouTube, and I'll watch it. I saw the one just today where the dude kicks somebody into a big sand pile and then, like, rips off the whole front of the. It's gross. It's so disgusting.
That's awesome.
But here's the thing. I actually kind of thought about it. Okay. I actually considered buying Mortal Kombat 11. I really did. Even though I'm kind of like, I think I might be over it. I still like it as a fighting game, which is why I really like Injustice and Injustice 2, because that is basically Mortal Kombat, but without all of that, right? And it's, uh-huh. you know, it's Batman and all his friends. So, you know, it's a little bit different. So I like the Injustice games quite a bit, actually. But I thought about getting Mortal Kombat 11 because I was like, you know what? I don't have to do the fatalities. And even if I see one online, whatever. Like, it's – I think we blow it out of proportion a little bit on this show, how sensitive I really am to that stuff. It's not like I can't, like, just roll my eyes or, you know, look away if it's that nasty. It's like, whatever. But I got to tell you, in hearing some of this stuff about Mortal Kombat 11, I had pause. I didn't end up wanting to drop $60 on this game after all. I kind of ended up having pause with that. And part of that is this controversy going on with the grinding and the difficulty in Mortal Kombat 11. I don't know if you're up on this as well, Loki, or what you've heard mm-hmm. about this, Darksakura. Because you said you were interested in this game too, Darksakura, right?
Well, because it has two of my favorite lady voice actors in it.
Well, I know it ain't Ronda Rousey.
No. Although she wasn't bad as Sonya.
Really? But, you're the first person I've heard say anything remotely kind about her performance.
But Jennifer Hale is Kronika.
Okay, well, okay.
And Cetrion is Mary Elizabeth McGlynn.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, Mary Elizabeth McGlynn.
Couldn't
what a throwback.
You just tell it from hearing her? Because she uses the same very sultry, Silent Hill singing.
I didn't watch the story mode like y'all did.
But
yeah.
she talks like she does in the songs in Silent Hill.
Interesting. Silent Hill 2. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, 3 and 4, sorry, I should have said.
So here's the thing. Most everybody is like, you know, it's a good game. It's Mortal Kombat. It's a good fighter. Yes, it's gross and over the top, but if you're playing Mortal Kombat, what all do you expect? And that whole thing, right? And I'm not talking about – there was a review controversy that came up on Discord about how one particular reviewer said the fatalities were too much. But the reviewer actually went back and corrected it to say the fatal blows, because I think they were actually talking about that mechanic that replaced the X-ray attacks from the last game I played.
The X-ray attacks are kind of stupid.
Yeah, and I was like, all right. Well, like, in that context, I think the dude – but, like, of course, everybody on Twitter is like, if you can't handle fatalities, what are you doing playing Mortal Kombat? And honestly, I got to say this. I think one of the reasons even I got burned out on the fatalities. Like, when I enjoyed fatalities and they made me laugh, like Mortal Kombat 2, they were very cartoony, they were very stupid, and they were very fast. That was the thing, right? Like, uppercut, fall in the pool of acid, skeleton comes up.
Da-da-da, set up, exactly. Execution done.
Right, it was fast, it was done. And now, in, like, Mortal Kombat 11, these fatalities, they're drawn out.
They're excessive fatalities.
It is an opus.
Like, what is this, Knights of the Round?
It is. It's Knights of the Round of Death is what it is in Mortal Kombat. And I got to say, like, I kind of had that epiphany this week. I'm like, I think that may actually be a part of the problem I'm having with the fatalities. This is just so fucking drawn out. And, you know, it's this big thing. So when I initially read the review, and even I was reading it in the context of, like, fatalities are too much, I'm like, actually, if you think about it, that maybe the fatalities are just too fucking long and just, like just maybe we've hit that line of, like, it just – wrap it up already type of thing. Like, I think the reviewer is free to make a point. It's not like they tanked the game out of it or said, like, 7 out of 10, too much water. I think they ended up giving it a 4 out of 5 at the end of the day. So, you know, whatever. Anyway, but here's the real problem why reviewers are deducting a star. This is the real problem and the thing I think is worth talking about. The fatality thing, whatever. Y'all are going to have opinions on that. We're all going to have to agree to disagree on how I feel about the violence and all that stuff. But it's this thing about the Towers of Combat in Mortal Kombat and the currency that you get from these Towers of Combat that allow you to go to the Crypt. And the Crypt was in previous Mortal Kombat games. Like, I remember a Mortal Kombat game I had on GameCube. I don't know if it was Deception or Deadly Alliance. And you go into the Crypt and you can unlock. But you could go on the internet and look at the FAQ and it would tell you exactly what's in every gravestone in the Crypt. So you would just go get what you want and that's that. You can't do that in Mortal Kombat 11 because they've randomized everybody's crits.
Hooray.
And some of the currency that you use, you get, you know, you get from playing the game, but you have to play a lot of the game, and you get it in these time towers, basically. And they're rotating challenges, but it sounds like a lot of the challenges, and again, I'm going to fully admit, I haven't played the game. I'm only going off of what I read on the internet, and I want you guys to chime in, especially if you have played. It sounds like a lot of these challenges are bullshit. Like, you know, projectiles getting put, like, things that kind of cancel each other out and don't make sense, and it's really hard. And so it's kind of nudging you to buy the currency to go in the crypt, and then it's like you got to spend a ton of money to do this. When it's a little bit shady on when you consider the fact that you've already dropped $60, $70, maybe $100 if you bought the version that already has the DLC on this game in the first place. It's like it just wants more money from you, right? And now – when Alan and I were discussing this earlier this week, and he said, well, I mean, how's that different from Overwatch? Nothing you're getting in the crypt is, you know, anything but cosmetic, and it's just like loot boxes in Overwatch, right? And I'm kind of like, whatever, whatever. But, I mean, it still feels like it's almost like the difficulty of it has left it to be a little bit exploitative, almost.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, and I'm sure, and I'm not even looking at chat just yet. I need to bring that up because I'm sure some of you have comments. To be fair, NetherRealm has come out this week and mentioned we hear the feedback. We know it's too difficult. And they are starting to put out some patches that are, A, going to tone down the difficulty of this a little bit. And, B, I think it's going to reward players that already have the game with some, like, currency, just, like, free currency as a, you know, thank you for putting up with this bullshit type of thing. You know, a goodwill gesture. But it's not going to be enough currency to buy everything. But it'll be enough to kind of, like, get a taste. So they're kind of trying to balance that. But, you know, I'm pretty sure these games are pretty extensively tested and so forth. You got to think they didn't know that some of this was way too hard going into it. Like, are the testers just too good at the game? It's weird that they didn't figure that out before the game hit the market. What's up with that? Any of you guys have thoughts on that?
Oh, they knew. They knew. They just were basically it's to push it as far as they can. And it's based on backlash, really, because they can adjust that stuff on the fly or make adjustments to it to kind of balance out the grind versus whatever. But in the end, it's to basically, I'm assuming they sell the currency as well. You can grind for it or you can buy it. And so it's, the whole point is to make it inconvenient so you want to buy it.
Okay, and I need to correct something that in the way I explained it. Thank you, chat. And again, I said from the beginning, I haven't played the game, and these are some of my reservations about it, this whole crypt thing. So I'm being corrected that the currency isn't to unlock things in the crypt. So Fifth Dream today says you can't buy the currency. It's not possible. And Shad Starzik's in chat saying, yeah, currency is impossible to buy. Fifth Dream says you buy the crystals to pay for a random selection of cosmetics. So you're not using the currency that you buy to open the stuff in the crypt. You use it to buy, essentially, it sounds like, a loot box. Correct me if I'm wrong. But even though you guys are getting me on a technicality, I mean, come on. They're still encouraging you to use currency to get stuff, right? And you see all these articles about, oh, if you want to buy stuff, it's thousands of dollars to get all the unlocks.
They're also
going to
have DLC characters, too. So that's going to be a thing that's coming as well. I'm sure this had a season pass.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of nickel and diamond going on here.
That's gaming nowadays.
And ultimately, you know what? Now we're back with where I was at with Mortal Kombat X. Because all my drama about fatalities and that aside, I almost wanted to pick up Mortal Kombat X. I ultimately didn't do it because Alan got it. So I didn't have to. But I almost picked it up. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait for the inevitable end of the year edition or year gold year edition, right?
Game of the year.
Game of the year, that's it. Because you know, and it's the same thing will happen here too. Come, and especially with it releasing kind of early this year, come November, they're going to put out a version that has all the DLC already included, some of this cosmetic currency stuff and the base game, and that will cost maybe 50, 40, who knows? Who knows what it'll
plus
be down
be
to
sales.
By November. Sales, absolutely.
It'll be like half off probably in a few months.
So I don't feel the need to buy it now. And it's kind of, and I'm going to, you know, I'm just putting it out there just because I feel it's worth saying. If I hadn't heard about all this nickel and diming stuff, you know, DLC characters is one thing, but all this, I probably would have done it. But now I'm pausing a little bit. Now I'm pausing to say like, maybe I'm going to wait until I get a little more bang for my buck for that $60.
Yeah.
Thoughts? I mean, where's your head at with Mortal Kombat, Loki? I don't know if it's
I'm not interested in it at all, so it makes no difference to me what it costs. So I don't want to play it.
I'll be honest, I don't really have the hand strength to play a fighting game well anymore. So for me, I've gotten everything I want to see watching on YouTube. You know, if they did like,
you know what,
here's that's the movie version of it.
That's a whole nother thing though, is about now it's interesting because I feel like Mortal Kombat, I've heard more than any other game recently about how people are kind of just playing it on YouTube essentially, which to be fair, kind of lends credit to maybe why NetherRealm feels they've got to really milk the people playing it for a little extra cash here and there, is because they're losing money on people just kind of watching the story. I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong, but it's just a reality of gaming in 2019, and how do we make a game that makes money? Anyway, somebody buy me time, because I want to, because no, the chat is
it's
saying
a valid
I'm misrep-
point.
The okay, go ahead. Yeah,
but I'll be perfectly honest. I don't necessarily see it that way, because really most of the people who are going to be interested in playing it are putting out the money there and are buying the DLC. You know, it's like the same model where you have, in fact, we were talking about this at work just the other day, where, you know, you've got all these free-to-play games and, you know, you have 80% of the people out there who are not buying, you know, extra points or extra time or anything. And then you have the rabid 20% that are putting out all the money. And so they should take into account their price point the portion that is going to pay for it. You know, you are going to have freeloaders like me, and then you're going to have people who are just base game, and then you're going to have the people who are going to put out the money because they're enthusiasts.
Okay. Let me make sure I represent this correctly. So I'm just going to read. I don't usually do this. I'm going to read word for word from this article. So I'm going to give credit to VG247.com. Thank you. I'm sorry. I want to make sure we get it right. Okay. So here it is. So, it will cost you plenty if you want to acquire every skin available in the game. There are 23 characters presently, and each offers 60 different skins, according to someone who did the math. Over on Reddit, a poster crunched some numbers, and according to the math, it will apparently cost you $6,440 in real money to buy every skin currently available. Four of the skins can be unlocked by playing through the character tutorials, story, and basic towers. That leaves 56 skins to unlock. Skins are unlocked just by playing the game, or they can seemingly be purchased using in-game currency called time crystals. Time crystals can also be earned through gameplay, but seem to amass slowly. If you are the impatient sort, or just really want a particular skin, you can purchase 500 time crystals through the in-game store for $5, which is what each skin runs on average. But you still may not get the skin you want, as they appear on a rotational basis. Every 6 to 8 hours, a new set of 5 skins will become available on the store. Supposedly, once they leave the store, well, prepare yourself for a grind fest. He goes on, the poster went on to say that he earned 760 time crystals after playing the game 4 hours. If you wanted to unlock every game skin through gameplay alone, it would take 3,390 hours of playtime and cost 644,000 time crystals. So I don't think I misrepresented that, because I said you can either play the game and amass things slowly, or they're tempting you with this pay to unlock it right away, right? Mm-hmm. And this is not something exactly unique to Mortal Kombat 11 either, right? We've seen this in other games as well.
Yes, we have. And it's the whole fear of missing out. So that's why it's on a limited time basis, and they rotate amounts, because it's like, oh my God, that's what I want, and I got to get it right away. I guess I better buy some stuff to unlock the thing that changes something slightly.
Okay, so chatters are but jumping in, like Renji221 is saying you can't buy all the costumes, right, because of the rotational thing. So you would, you know, you'd have to be patient, and you have to, what, so can you not grind it out in the crypt then? That was the impression I was getting, is that the other way to get the costumes is to just get them in the crypt randomly. I thought that was
been already being patched out or
well, right, and yet. I said that at the very beginning. They're already addressing some of this with a patch, but my big question was, how did they not figure out that some of these grindy things were a bit too much in some of the early testing that they did? You know, it kind of makes you go, are they just doing it because there's enough bitching on the internet that you have people like me that are sitting there going, I was going to buy it, but when I heard about how grindy it was, I thought, maybe not.
Because if the people are testing the game aren't paying real money to unlock the stuff, so they're just testing the functionality of it, not whether, you know, it's annoying as crap.
And also, this also begs the question, with you guys having to kind of explain it and read the article, why is this so fucking complicated in the first place? Like,
it's complicated to make people not want to think about it.
So that people don't think about
it. It's a distraction. I mean, a lot of these things are set up in this particular, like, almost like a psychological manipulation, where they know that a customer isn't going to stop and do the math. The average customer will not stop and do the math on all of these things. They won't sit and look at the probability. And at the end of the day, they're like, oh, I can give it a chance. It's like playing the lottery.
Right.
Really, it is.
Well, you know, and it's interesting.
People get addicted to the gambling.
Because you know what I think of is I think of the Microsoft points. And yes, I realize they've retired the points. They did that several years ago. But you all know, when the Xbox 360 first came out, you bought Microsoft points. And it wasn't 1 point was one penny. And it's almost the exact way you phrased it. You bought, I think it was, did you get less? Fuck, what was it? Like 400 points for $5 or something like that, right? So
it was, yeah, 400 points for $5.
So you would buy things for 400 points, and maybe that your brain would think that was about $4, but it really was $5. Most people aren't thinking through the math. Again, Microsoft has changed that, but I mean, it does go to show our industry has kind of been here before a little bit.
It's a little deceptive, but at the same time, it's, I reckon to them, a financial deception. You know, it's not like a blatant deception, but what's the word I'm thinking of? A misleading, a little bit of misleading. You know, it's there if you want to stop and look at it. It if you give it a first glance and you're thinking with that common sense, 400 to five, so I'm actually paying, you know, like $1.10 or $1, you know, whatever per point.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, per 100 point or whatever it is, then logically it's there in front of you. They haven't hidden a thing. And I'm just using that particular example. But when you are going to then use the points in the store, it's not giving you that point of comparison. It's not putting a dollar figure on it. You are using the points at that point that you have already paid for. What you paid for them is inconsequential for how you're spending the points. And that's where the misleading comes in. I don't want to call it a blatant deception because it's not.
Blatant Mortal Kombat deception.
Womp, womp.
All right, anyway. Total.
Keep that up. We'll have a Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Total random tangent aside. I was trying to let the chat room saw me trying to get Louise's attention. Is it just me or did the music over there just suddenly like drop off?
It very much dropped off.
It very much has dropped off. I wonder if there's, see if you can see flashing blue and red lights through the window or if somebody else went over there finally.
Well, I'll go take a look.
You can go see if the Go see if the cops are here.
Let me bring my tea with me so I can sip it in your yard.
You don't make it obvious. Don't go. Just peek through the window. Be that old lady peering through the windows.
Just go see if they're on the roof. Look still. Through the Maybe someone finally died.
No, because I can hear the music going a little bit. It's just like way down from what it was. Anyway, I can't believe she went outside. Anyway, some other comments from chat. Shad Starzik, who I know has been playing Mortal Kombat 11 and would probably be excited to hear if I actually finally got in and played it, said it's all artificial time barriers to make you sink way too much time into this, which is where I see most people get mad about this game, plus the difficulty in the towers and the randomness of the crypt. And Fifth Dream today says, what's the verdict?
I didn't see any lights, but I did see people starting to walk out.
Oh, so maybe party's over.
Party may just be over. Maybe they're done with their day drinking.
All right. Well, Game of Thrones is on, I guess, maybe for some. Who knows?
Oh, I hear the
Not
music
that you
again.
Should change the channel. You can DVR it or use HBO Go.
I can hear the music.
Yeah, it's still there. It's just like way down. Anyway, all right. Yeah. Shut up about the neighbors.
Who cares? No one can hear it.
Yeah. I know. But it's just, you guys don't understand. If you were here in the studio, it would be driving you bonkers. All right, anyway. Fifth Dream today says, I view microtransactions like impulse purchases at the store. Grab a candy bar, a magazine, get fries with that. How often a week? Well, $5 now, and then it's the same thing. Very interesting. Very interesting. Anyway, now something else to note about this whole ordeal. One other thing I want to talk about with Mortal Kombat is that, you know, modders are going to mod, right? Hacker's going to hack, modder's going to mod. This is a little bit of both. I don't know if you would call this a hack or a mod. I guess technically it's a mod. But anyway, there are characters that appear in Mortal Kombat 11's story. Cyrax and Sektor. And I know those names from Mortal Kombat 3 way back in the day, right? The robot ninjas, right? So apparently they show up in the story, but they are not actually playable in as part of the roster, which Mortal Kombat's done this before. I remember Mortal Kombat 9 had Rain, and Rain is awesome, but Rain was in the story, but you couldn't play Rain as a selectable character. But I'm sure somebody on the PC back then made it able to play Rain on the PC and get... Sure enough, what's happened now? Somebody has enabled it so that you can play Cyrax and Sektor on the PC with their new character models, all the moves and all that stuff. This also goes for the boss character. The boss character, of course, Kronika in the game. You can actually play as Kronika thanks to this mod as well. Although for Mortal Kombat to not allow you to play the boss characters is not as unusual. Like, that goes all the way back to Goro in the first game.
Yeah.
They just don't want you to play something that's going to be completely unbalanced. And it sounds like Kronika, that might be a little bit of the issue there as well. But, you know, surprise, surprise that the PC players have already managed to, you know.
So do they have all their moves, or is it just like kind of mimicking other?
No, they have the, because in the story they do these moves. So like, the yellow ninja does the bombs that throw out. Sorry, I can't remember the difference. But throws out the bombs, right? I think Cyrax has the bombs and Sektor has the missiles. So they have those types of moves. And they don't look like palette swaps either. At least when I looked at, they did look different. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. And people are wondering if it's, oh, is it DLC? But apparently the DLC list has leaked. And I do not believe these guys are on the DLC list. So... just like in Mortal Kombat 9 with Rain, it appears that there are no plans
to
make these characters
playable.
Well,
that's not necessarily true, because they could have them on the list as like characters, like if there's a list of all the characters in the game, and they may not suspect that they're DLC because they're technically in the game as story characters. Doesn't mean that they can't have them as also DLC playable characters. So maybe...
Some folks in chat are chiming in as well about Reptile in Mortal Kombat 1 being a very hidden thing that you could fight, but you couldn't really play as. Although, wasn't there like a code or something you did on Super Nintendo? Maybe it was a Game Genie thing.
It was probably a Game Genie code.
Yeah, where like you could play as Reptile, but you had to really jump through hoops. And all Reptile was in the Mortal Kombat 1, all Reptile was Sub-Zero and Scorpion stuff at the same time. That's all Reptile was. Reptile didn't get the stuff like the ball that makes, you know, and the acid spit and all that stuff. That didn't come until Mortal Kombat 2 when they made Reptile his own character. So, believe it or not, guys, I used to the old school Mortal Kombat games, I used to love those games. I loved, like, Mortal Kombat 2 especially. Katana, Melina, you know it. I still remember this day. Katana, finish him. Block, 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 high kick. Easiest fatality in the world. Just slam the block button, high kick. That's the fan chopping off the head. But it's 2 seconds, and then it's over. And it's cartoony and stupid. Anyway. Fifth Dream says, there's always seasons 2 and 3. Or excuse me, there's always seasons 2. And he makes that bunny face. But that comment very well could be seasons 2 and 3. Shad Starzik says, I'll take a season 2 if I get characters I want. So... Tiger Claw also, with a random aside here, but I think this is a worthy note. Tiger Claw mentioning that Arcade 1-Up has, you know, they're doing all those like mini stand-ups that kind of look
they
like...
They had a Mortal Kombat 1. Yeah.
Well, they just announced recently they're doing a Mortal Kombat 1. They're going to do a Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3 all in one cabinet. And y'all ready for a twist? That's the one I kind of want, like, really bad. Like, I think having a Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3 little mini cab, I think that would be fun.
Mortal Kombat 2 is the best, though.
It really is. It's my favorite. I do have a soft spot for Mortal Kombat 3. Mortal Kombat 1, I don't think is very fun to play anymore, just because I think it got superseded by the later games.
Slow.
It's kind of clunky, but it's like, all right, we respect it for what it is. We tip our hat, you know, but then it's like, okay, Mortal Kombat 2 is, like, superior in every way with the characters.
Every way.
Yeah, in every way. So... Anyway, and Tiger Claw says the Mortal Kombat 3 is ultimate Mortal Kombat. And that game was just fun because of all the freaking characters.
Right.
There were so many characters in that game. So it's interesting now that, you know, Mortal Kombat style back a little bit.
What if they did a Mortal Kombat tag?
Like tag tournament?
Kind of, yeah.
Or like a tag team?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a mode in Ultimate Mortal Kombat?
I don't remember, because I didn't really play too much of Ultimate.
I thought there was a 2v2 in one of those Mortal Kombat 3 clones. Maybe it was a home version only or something like that. Maybe somebody in chat knows what I'm talking about. But I really feel like the tag team thing was in one of the games. It might have been like a
Mortal Kombat cross Tekken.
Well,
make me happy.
For what it's worth, Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe was a thing. It was kind of their response.
But they also made Injustice.
Yeah, well, that's, I think, where Injustice came from. And minor spoiler alert about the DLC, but I would imagine most of you have heard by now. But if you don't want a minor spoiler, skip forward 30 seconds. Apparently, Joker, not Persona Joker, but or Mass Effect Joker, but Joker from DC is in the DLC. So that's kind of interesting in a way. Especially
not
surprising. When you consider all the fatalities, because they kind of censored, they made him brutalities in Mortal Kombat DC Universe. I remember it was like Joker had the gun and he'd point the gun at the head, but the camera zoomed just enough so that it was out of range by the time he pulled the trigger. So you couldn't actually see it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was the type of stuff that Mortal Kombat and DC Universe did. So anyway. Okay, Loco Poco says Mortal Kombat 9 had 2v2. I knew there was a game I'd played it in. Thank you guys. Sia Tabiri suggests King of Fighters and Mortal Kombat. Hey, I'd be into that. Yeah, so there you go. So Mortal Kombat 11. So again, I apologize that we haven't all gotten our hands on it, but I think it's also worth discussing here. You know, we all hold down day jobs. This podcast is a labor of love. Y'all know that. We have to be picky and choosy about how we spend our money too. Like, we're not getting comped all these games from some very sweet indie studios and so forth have done that here and there. But, you know, as far as AAA title goes, we don't get those for free. So we have to think about how to spend our money too. And do I want to drop $60 on Mortal Kombat 11? I don't know if I want to right now. I don't know. We'll see. I feel like my husband will inevitably get it again. And then because he gets paid in a couple days. So I'll bet he'll buy it and then I don't have to worry about it. That's always a nice way to do it. All right. Anyway, let's talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week in a segment called How Was Your Gaming Week? Where we talk about what we have. If not Mortal Kombat, then what? Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I'm playing this crap. Y'all see it?
No, but the podcast listeners sure can't.
Yeah, that's I'm playing Idle Pouring. I'm playing Ingress again. We took the work portal.
Yay.
I still need more stuff for the anomaly. We are, what else am I doing? Oh yeah, Pokemon Go. I'm playing Animal Crossing Pocket Camp because I super freaking want an Animal Crossing. I played DDR last week. I actually played Superstar and failed it because, you know, I haven't played in a long time. But I did pretty okay in like some of the mid difficulty ones. It was, I had to just get my bearings again. But it was fun. I played a game with JD. It was really fun. And then I played like some piano keys game. It's like a ticket spitter. But it was kind of fun too. It was like really super easy keyboard mania.
Is that with like the super sized piano keys or whatever?
It's like just like a single, you know, like a half octave. It was pretty fun.
Yeah. I like that gigantic one they have at round one.
We played at Dave and Buster's.
Okay.
Yeah. We also... I didn't really like play a whole lot else because I was just so busy all that week. But you know, I'm playing my phone stuff, and you know, we got a Doctor Who pinball. We traded Monopoly, Stir Monopoly, and got a Doctor Who. And it turns out that one of our boards is bad, so Dan is ordering a new one to put it back in. I mean, it's just one board, so it's fine. It's not, I think, that super crazy. But Doctor Who is a really good pinball with, like, one of my favorite multi-balls. And so I played the shit out of that. And then, of course, more Ghostbusters, which we have Ghostbusters pinball.
Yeah, I think a lot of our audience is going to be jealous of that Doctor Who acquisition. In fact, Bobby Blackwolf is saying, Doctor Who pinball is my one holy grail. If I could have one table in my house, it would be that one.
Then Bobby, I will take pictures and put them up for you. Our play field is immaculate. It's been fully restored. Our side art is not so great. It could use some touch up, but the board plays like brand new board, like it was a home use only, which I'm pretty sure it wasn't home use, just on some of the wear and tear on some of the ramps. But the play field has been fully restored. It's really nice.
We need to go record a midpoint break at your house at some point with some of the pinball. Yeah.
We need like three fucking cameras for it.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. But at any rate, that's been my gaming weeks.
All right.
Since I was
sure
oots in a boot.
Loki, how about you? How was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole ton of things. I tried out, first off, I finished building the last few things for the Labo VR stuff. So I built the thing called the wind pedal, and there's like a the elephant thing, which you can use to draw and stuff. It's all right. It hasn't worked out great. It's hard to tell depth on it, but it is what it is. And then the wind pedal thing's kind of, it's all right. The mini game that they have with that. It works better, though, with the bird, though, because it makes your bird go faster. So that's kind of cool. And I beat the bird game. And what else? I tried the Labo VR stuff for Mario Odyssey, and that was really lame. So, yeah, unfortunately, I won't be playing much of that. My son likes it, but... It's pretty lame.
I completely expected the Nintendo VR stuff, which I think is coming up later, so maybe we don't want to get in too much into it, but I was completely expecting that the Nintendo VR stuff was going to be more cute than it was going to be, like, actual, like, depth to it. You know what I mean?
Well, it's just like all the other stuff. I mean, the Super Mario Odyssey stuff is basically you're running around with a fixed camera, basically, so you're just kind of like different levels and you have to find three things and like collect 100 coins and you're just going around as a fixed camera. So it's like sometimes Mario gets really far away from you and I don't know, there's just not much to do in it. And the 3D effect in it, it's just not that great. It's okay. I did pick up finally Zelda A Breath of the Wild, because my son's been wanting that for a while now, so...
It's such a good game.
I picked that up.
You had it on Wii U, right?
I had it on Wii U. I never played it, though, on Wii U very much. I
you did, okay.
I only played, like, 5-10 minutes of it.
Because I was going to say, we did not go all this time without you, like, ever playing Breath of the Wild.
No,
like,
I've played Breath of the Wild, but I just haven't played it for a very long time.
Got it.
But my son likes playing that when we go to the GameStop or whatever, the demo station. So I'm like, oh, we just buy the damn game. I'm like... Then you can play through the whole game. So I finally bought it, and then he doesn't want to play it. So
we ended up loaning Julian our Wii U so he could play through Breath of the Wild.
He's been too busy playing Roblox crap, so, you know, whatever. He plays this.
Doing all that coding stuff, right?
Well, no, it's because he likes the Roblox stuff. Oh. So he's been playing this Five Nights at Freddy's sim thing where he gets to be the animatronics or something. I don't know. He won't shut up about the goddamn game. So he plays that in Raft and not Fortnite, though, because I've told him, like, hey, the Thanos stuff came back. You know, he's like,
You should introduce him to Pirate 101, seriously, because Julian is still playing this game 6 years later.
So, I don't know. But, yeah. So that's pretty... Oh, and the Pokemon Go a little bit. Sorry, I'm ruining all your stories, I know.
No, I'm just going to say... Actually saying oh shit because apparently has short
but hooray all of
sorry,
this
guys.
Shit happens to me this
I week. Know right can you can we
oh you can use my mic to finish your stuff here you go
we just need new mics maybe that's what I should buy so yeah so I just played basically that stuff this week and then
is it gone?
Is it gone? No. Yes, it's gone. It might be me. I'm just very buzzy. I'm electric.
Are you electric youth?
Yes.
He's electric youth.
Try again, see if they complain.
Everyone's going to complain because it's me.
No.
Anyways, so...
Last week.
I didn't touch anything. It's back.
All right.
I guess I just have to leave the show.
No.
We're just out of mics.
Figure it out.
No. But here, take my mic.
So that's it. I'm pretty much done. I didn't really play that much else other than that. I did work on some of my game, which I can talk a little bit about what I've been working on, be just in specifics. So I've been working on a health bar that mimics like the Capcom fighting, or not fighting games, but beat 'em up games. You know, the ones that like change color from, I think it goes like white, purple, blue, green, yellow, and then counts down. So I've been working on that. But I'm not going to tell you for what. And it's not necessarily a beat 'em up. But there you go. That's all I'm going to allude to. It's your mic.
Yeah.
It's all the mics. All right, I'm done. Here you go. Here's your mic.
I blame gremlins. Someone fed the Mogwai after midnight, you know. They're gremlins. So.
You're going to have to share with me now, Loki. All right.
I think we're. Can you? I think we're due a shopping trip then, aren't we?
Yeah, it's gonna have to happen. Just don't let me forget this week, because the first time this happened, I said, you know what, I'm just gonna buy, because we've been using these hand-me-downs for a little while now. They've probably gone through their life, so I keep saying, oh, we're just gonna buy a new set, and then something comes up, I forget to do it. So just at some point this week, remind me
Thursday night.
Yeah,
when I am off work.
So.
You
anyway.
And I are going shopping. When you were off work, you and I are going shopping. Because I'm off on Thursdays.
So anyway, Loki, we're going to have to try to share tonight best we can. So we'll do our...
Oh, sharing is caring.
Yeah, right? So anyway, or I could try it. But the problem is, see, here's the thing. You say it's... Well, we did sub out. You know what? I could try subbing out my cable. I bet that's it. Because we did sub out your cable and we didn't need to. So I should be able to pull out the cable that you had before. Yeah, live tech issue.
Rob's going to pull it out live on air.
All right, I'm going to try to fix my mic issue live on air. We'll see. Anyway, but first I want to talk about my gaming week. So during my gaming week this week, I played still more Final Fantasy 14. I have every healer at level 70. I've hit everything on max level. I can't remember if that was something I did yesterday right before the show or not, but that was the thing I did this week. And then I was playing the Final Fantasy 15 crossover event when I finished all that. And I did the Easter event. And I've just been trying to up the gear level on my character, because now you can get 900 tombstones in a week. So I've just been kind of grinding away. I even did PvP today, which I don't usually do, but I was just, you know, grinding for extra tombstones so I could kind of catch up on some of the lost time I've been having on Final Fantasy 14. I am still playing Borderlands Game of the Year Edition. I got to the second area. But just to show you how, like, why it's taking me so long to get through it, I just dinged the achievement for completing every single quest in Arid Badlands. That first zone. So now I'm in the second zone, because that's how I roll, is I do like every single freaking thing. So there you go.
By the way, speaking of MMOs,
yeah,
Star Trek Online is going to start happening this week, and I might even stream it.
Oh, fun. What made you decide to get into that?
Well, I've missed playing it a whole lot. I just was also going back and reading on the wiki and finding how many original series voice actors they've got. Well, by original series, I mean the TV series, you know, up to Deep Space Nine and all that. And there's a lot of good Deep Space Nine content, which is usually where my characters hang out. So I figure it's time to dust off the old Rear Admiral and see what I can do with her.
All right. So anyway, that was pretty much it for my gaming week. I'm going to hand the mic back to Loki, and I'm going to try to sub out a cable here. Live tech repair, but that's the joy of doing a live show.
It makes for interesting TV.
It is what it is. Is it interesting?
For live people.
It just it gives you all something else to complain about.
I'm certainly entertained watching you run around.
All right. Well, anyway, yeah, I keep like bending over. You see my plumber's
behind.
Everyone,
look at Rob's butt.
Anyway, no, don't. Anyway, the thing on top of that, too, is that I've been losing weight, so my pants are already like... not staying
we
on so much.
We promise not to.
I'm down 5 pounds from where I was at. Yay.
Yay.
All right. Anyway, I'm going to hand the mic to Loki, and just, you have to excuse me on Twitch while I dig around like crazy trying to fix the other mic.
That's okay. So how about some news, Loki?
I guess. We'll talk news. Yeah. So the 3DS is going away, because it is. It's just inevitable. It's time. So apparently Nintendo held a briefing for their investors, which they talked about that it would continue the 3DS business, but it was preparing for new software release and for 2019 and beyond. But basically said that, you know, there's not really a lot in the pipeline other than a few more games for the system. Nothing. Basically said, we have nothing new to announce regarding first-party software for the Nintendo 3DS family of systems. We can't confirm that new software is coming from third-party publishers, so third parties will support, but it looks like all the first-party support is going towards the Switch right now, which makes sense. So,
well, why have two handhelds out there to compete with each other?
Right, and I mean, I know that they had shot down some rumors about new... I think we may have talked about it last week, about new Switch hardware that was rumored, but that's been kind of shot down as far as like a smaller Switch that's going to be coming out. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see what they actually announce. Maybe at E3 we'll learn something, or maybe later on. I think there will be a revision to the Switch at some point, but... I'm not sure about a smaller version. I can't even imagine what they would do with how they would do a smaller version of the Switch.
Well, they could go down as low as any one of the DS screens, you know, and still have it work.
But with the Joy-Cons, I don't know. That'd be just really weird.
We'll see.
But yeah, so no first party support, unfortunately, going forward, aside from the already announced games. But I guess that means a lot more games coming to the Switch. Hopefully Excite Truck is one of those. I'm not holding my breath, though. But
you and your Excite Truck. Right. More like Nelly in Excite Truck.
Or just bring like some support for Wii games, like some of the Wii games that use like the tilt. I guess some of those games might be a little bit hard to play. But yeah, you probably could play that game. It has the same number of buttons.
It's not impossible.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. What they announce, but 3DS stuff, of course, from third parties. So that, I know that they support like the DS stuff for a long time. So I'm sure we'll get some new games pretty soon.
Completely off topic, and this is stupid, but every time I or someone says it's not impossible, Tom Jones starts appearing in my head. Except that, you know, instead of singing "It's Not Unusual," it's not impossible. So it's kind of weird. My brain's doing remixes. What do we have?
Just seeing if they can still hear it or what's going on.
Is it busy sounding?
Yeah, they say it's really bad. Then I have to edit the podcast.
Oh, that's right, not good.
We'll just
Do they hear it now?
It. We'll just share. It's fine.
That's okay. That means that Rob and I can go shopping. And, or Matt, if you are off, you can go shopping with us too. We all go shopping.
I'm off for the next 2 days.
I'm off Thursday.
Well, I wanted to take time off on Friday. But then I got called back into work because only I can solve problems, apparently. And then it just all went downhill from there.
How do you solve a problem like Loki?
I had the worst back massage the other day. Like, it jacked up my back.
I hope you
like,
didn't tip.
I did.
All right. I'm
was a massage therapist, and if I gave a bad massage, I wouldn't expect a tip.
I'm going to attempt to move on to the next story here while I believe it or not, I have more cords to test and more mics to try, so we'll see if I can get through this. But anyway, in the meantime, do not mix up my piles. That is all broken shit. Okay. Anyhow, we're going to move on to a story that talks about something that's got a lot of people talking in the industry, especially, you know, the past couple of years. I think you've heard more and more talk about, does this gaming industry need to unionize? And one of the things that's very controversial in the industry is crunch time. And the reason why I think this is relevant right now is because we've had a couple stories this week, this very week, that have discussed crunch time in the industry and how it is affecting things that are going on. And one of them has to do with the Mortal Kombat development cycle and Mortal Kombat 11. So a report came out this week that talked about, it was actually some allegations on Twitter, apparently from like a former developer who said, on Mortal Kombat 9, crunch time officially began after New Year's Day 2011. Of course, we did a bit of pre-crunch before that just to make sure we were in a good spot for crunch. This was on schedule documents. This was not a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, passionate, hardworking thing. This was mandate. And that was according to James Longstreet, who was a software engineer at NetherRealm for 2 years. I took one day off between January 1st of 2011 and the day one patch was approved. It was my birthday and it was on a Sunday, so it was okay if I was just on call. So, yeah, wow. A lot of time going into this stuff. And even some of our folks who've worked in the industry in our chat. Shad Starzik in our chat says, I remember doing crunch time at Konami on Ultramix 2. 9 to 11 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Saturday. That happened for only a couple weeks, though.
But in California, it's illegal to have mandatory overtime.
I don't... You can pay, as long as you pay for it, but
no,
I know
you cannot
that do it.
Make... A company, you cannot make overtime mandatory.
Well, right. And they don't make overtime mandatory. The way it works is they basically say, you know, they kind of make it seem like you're not going to be a team player if you don't put in these hours. And they're not saying, they're saying it's optional, of course. But then when it comes time to being rehired after your time is up as a contractor, you're going to be less likely to be hired if you don't take that time.
But that's only for contractors. If you were a regular employee, which some people are, it's actually, I think, illegal to have punitive measures for people who don't work, quote,
but most of them
overtime.
Are contractors, though.
And I'm also sorry to say what we're hearing here is exactly what you're saying shouldn't be happening. Punitive measures and pressure.
Exactly.
Against
so what
people.
They're doing is they're breaking California labor law.
Right. But
if it's in California.
I don't know if NetherRealm is. NetherRealm is in these other places. And I honestly, from what Shane is saying, is much different. I mean, even though, you know, you got 2 weeks of these crunch time, that seems much more like, at least it's like planned out and you know exactly that kind of like what time period it, as opposed to what we're hearing here, where it's like months and months at a time. And Fortnite is the other big one we're hearing about, is that, you know, Fortnite's been super successful, but because they're doing patch after patch after patch, that these guys are in like a nonstop crunch. And so what's really frustrating to me about this whole thing and in reading it is that it sounds like, and isn't this the way it always goes, right? Is that the supervisors and managers are barely doing any of it. It's all, and they're the ones that are leaving because it's the, you know, their job is to supervise and manage. They're not the ones that are actually putting in the work. But then go figure, this time as it goes on and on and on for months and months, we're talking about much more than 2 weeks, it's going on and on for months and months, is that people feel like that less time, the time isn't being as effective, and that they're sitting there for hours waiting for a new build and so on and so on. It's just, it's really kind of gross. And I think that's why a lot of this stuff is kind of coming to light now. But it's also a double-edged sword, because you know how gamers are in this industry. If they don't make certain deadlines, that game's got bugs that aren't fixed, it's going to get torn the fuck apart online.
That's why I'm supportive of workers unionizing to improve those conditions and to remove this expectation from the industry. You know, especially since we've had so many other unionizations occurring. Especially, for example, our teachers as of late. You know, and if you know your history, you know that here in the U.S., companies were quite abusive of their employees until unions made those changes. So I'm fully in support of the industry unionizing. Absolutely. No hesitation.
And it sounds like there's just some kind of like a lot of like piss poor jobs planning and so forth. And I think if the supervisors and managers aren't there during all of this time, that's kind of bullshit, for one. You know, like, what? I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive on how corporate culture, but certainly I've been in the positions where I have to work overtime, but it's, you know, planned out. It's not nonstop. I'm able to have time to adjust things so I can, you know, and usually all the companies that have made me do it have been pretty good, where it's like, if you put in a lot of time, it's like, we're just going to give you a free day off later once the thing is met. You know, it's been reasonable, much more reasonable, as opposed to, well, if you don't do it, you know, you're going to get a nasty review next time you have a one-on-one or what have you. You know, or we could just fire you, and there's 10 million of you out there looking for a job in the industry and all that crap.
Well, the other thing is they also don't expect people to know the labor laws in their state either, to mm-hmm. know them well,
mm-hmm.
to know them well enough to be able to bring them into a conversation to protect themselves.
Yeah. Anyhow, also, it should be mentioned, I noticed Bobby is kind of alluding to an Apex story. It should be noted that, you know, Respawn has kind of said some things sort of in response to this, because they outlined how they were going to handle Apex updates going forward. Drew McCoy stressed in an update that he wrote about where the team is going that the Battle Royale game will still be alive and thriving, but they were not going to pursue updates so aggressively that it will require crunch time that can prompt burnout or worse. So if you want to make a long story short, he's saying you're going to be waiting longer for Apex updates because we're not putting our team through crunch. And TBH, I'm good with it. Like, that.
People need to learn some fucking patience.
And you also know you're going to get quality stuff. Whereas, you know, we heard a very similar story not that long ago that involved BioWare. And look where that crunch got them with Mass Effect Andromeda and all the issues that it had.
And they're still behind in Anthem updates as well. Their roadmap that they put out there of all the things that they were going to add to the game, they haven't even come close to doing that on time.
Now, Bobby in chat, to read his full comments, said that the consumer response to Respawn saying that they won't crunch for Apex Legends, so they won't get any updates until the next patch, was, well, looks like you don't care about the game like Epic. Going back to Fortnite, where they respect me and give me content constantly, will allow me to say, not this consumer, fuck that. And I think what we as gamers can do is we can embrace companies that say that this is going to be the policy and say, you know what, it's okay. Oh, a game is going to take a little longer to come out. It's okay.
It's because these people only care about themselves.
Yeah. So to that, I say, if you're those gamers, you're causing this problem. Screw you. Like, sit down and shut up. Make your own fucking game. See how easy it is. That's what I say to those gamers that, you know, are not going to, you know, say, oh, you don't care about me.
You need to stop being part of the problem.
Yeah, you're not willing to. So so what I can do for the industry is to those gamers, I can say, I will fight you. Not literally, obviously, because I don't want to get banned from Twitch. I'm using hyperbole. I will cooking mama fight you.
I play dirty. I will challenge you to a kitchen battle royale. I am the Iron Chef.
So, but here's the thing. And you know what, guys? Hasn't Nintendo delayed Smash Brothers games a million times? Wasn't Zelda delayed twice? Didn't Grand Theft Auto get pushed back?
Aren't they quality products?
And those games came out A-okay at the end of the day, and we're all just fine for it.
I'll point this out. How many people go to buy a shelf at IKEA, and it's next to, say, one that was built in the 50s by hand? Which shelf falls apart sooner? The new IKEA piece of shit. The things that were that people took their time with, built sturdy and used good material, those are the things that are still standing. You know, how about all these old houses down in the deep south, you know, or back east, these buildings that have been around since the 1700s, they're still standing. Why? Quality material, quality effort, quality time. They didn't roll them out on a cookie cutter. And the same thing goes with your games.
Yeah.
What games are we still playing today? The one for our classic games, we're playing the ones that people put time and real effort into, mm-hmm. and didn't just whip it out, you know, because it was going to be a moneymaker.
Right.
They put a lot of effort and made sure when it was ready for release, it was ready.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Now get off my lawn.
I didn't think to really define this better, but in our chat, there's even a little bit of confusion. What does crunch really mean? Because Kaijudo says, I thought crunch meant like numbers, coder, updates. So is crunch the rush? And yeah, crunch is like the slang term they give to this mandatory overtime.
Have you ever just heard in general crunch time? It's the time that you have to finish stuff up before your deadline.
Sometimes, you know, remember, everybody's got their different backgrounds. And
but I mean, that's like a fairly classic term. It's been around since the 50s.
Well, I'm thinking, like, I think the term comes from, like, a college student's crunching for, like, an exam. I know I've heard that before.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've always used it in regards to my deadlines. You know, hey, I'm sorry I can't go out. It's crunch time on this poster.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. So, it was just, you know, if you have never been around people that use that word, you may not know it. So I'm happy to define those types of things so that we all understand what the industry is doing to the people that make our games. So anyhow, I think we should move on, though. Dark Soccer, you have other news out of Epic, right?
Yeah, greedy fuckers. Kidding. The Epic Games dude, Tim Sweeney, tweeted that the company would end its exclusivity agreements if Steam raised its revenue cut for developers. The direct quote, if Steam committed to a permanent 88% revenue share for all developers and publishers without major strings attached, Epic would hastily organize a retreat from exclusives while honoring our partner commitments and consider putting our own games on Steam. So basically, you don't get it on Steam because we don't give them money. That's it. Unless, you know, the other thing is then, you know, is it that they want to be guaranteed making a certain amount of revenue to cover the cost of putting it on Steam? But I don't know. It's kind of shady. It just seems really icky. And then he said in a follow-up, such a move would be a glorious moment in the history of PC gaming and would have a sweeping impact on other platforms for generations to come. Then stores could go back to just being nice places to buy stuff rather than game developer IRS.
This is the weirdest flex. Like, this is the weird. I don't know if I can think of a time in the gaming industry. Maybe y'all want to correct me. But I'm not sure if I can think of a time where one company is essentially trying to bully another company into what to do and how to set its revenues and all this other stuff. It's a really weird flex.
It reeks of, like, 1920s business practice.
You might try to claim that maybe when PlayStation, Sony got up there on stage at E3 and undercut Microsoft by $100. But they didn't exactly get up there and say, but if Microsoft will do this, then we'll cut the prior. I don't, you know, it just, it seems really, this whole thing is very bold. And, you know, here's the thing, Tim Sweeney, I appreciate you for what you've done for the industry, especially like ZZT and all that stuff. You know, I have a lot of love for that game and all this stuff. But honestly, when it comes to stuff like this, you just got a big spotlight shown on you with this crunch time stuff and everything that, you know, the Fortnite staff is going through. So
he's making himself out to be a really big bully miser sort of Scrooge.
In my opinion, fix your own shit before you tell other companies how to fix theirs. Like, I know you might think you're trying to get gamers on your side by flexing your dick like this with this whole trying to, you know, well, if the Steam would come down to the rate, you know, that we're paying and all this stuff. I just, you need to fix your own fucking problems first. Don't throw rocks when you live in a glass house.
It's okay? Honestly some Wall Street in the recession level bullshit. You know what I mean? That, you know, he's like, we've got all this power. We've got so much over the industry right now that it would do you well to be on our good side and do business the way that we want to, which is exactly what the banks were doing with government at that time.
And when you put these two stories side by side, which is why we did that in our show world tonight, when you put these two stories side by side, it kind of gets It's grosser and grosser, honestly, because it's like, well, Epic, we got the costs down and other, at what cost? Epic, at what cost?
There's no morality anymore in business. I mean, well, there wasn't really morality in business anyway. But this is why we have to have regulations and have them kept in check, or else they're going to do this shit on a larger scale. You know, people are like, oh, if you leave business unregulated, then they're going to do the right thing. Bullshit, they won't. You want some examples? Look to the early business models of U.S.
And to be clear, I am all for Steam having competition. And honestly, I don't think I've said a bad thing about the Epic Game Store on the show previously, you know, when it comes to this whole price war thing going on in you know, in the exclusives and all that stuff. That is capitalism, I suppose. Love it or hate it. That is the competition that would allow both of these companies to thrive and so forth. Where I have a problem, and what's making me kind of come out here and say, you know, Tim Sweeney, dial it back, is when now he's trying to, like, he needs to let these negotiations and let these price reductions and so forth, he needs to let that do the talking. He needs to not come out and say, oh, but if Valve does this, then we'll even give them our games to put on the store. And he's, like, so trying to get that rabble. We're the good guys here. And if the bad guys would just turn around and do what we're doing, because we're all about the developers, well, guess what? What about your own developers? Are you really the good guy there?
Well, especially think about how much work that's going to cause for their developers bringing it out on another platform. I mean, seriously, he's really painting himself out to be just like, you know, a twirling mustache, you know, bad businessman.
But if you make a ZZT2, I'll shut the fuck up.
No, you won't. And that, though, that type of shit, though, in all seriousness, is what businesses rely on. It's like, hey, here's your bone. Are you happy now? And trying to distract.
You know, I'm not really going to shut the fuck up. I would make a game in ZZT about how to treat your workers. That's the petty crocker I aspire to be.
The thing is that all of this is what we have going on in the government right now. A lot of smoke and mirrors. Oh, this big, terrible shit's going on. But here's this thing to distract you. And that's what the company.
I didn't do it. I'm not lying. You're lying.
Like,
I didn't do anything.
Well, by the way.
Didn't you read it? I didn't do anything. No, I'm not lying. You're lying.
Stop talking over me, please. But by the way, you know, with all of this, this is the, you know, I'm sure this is really bad, but look at this other bad thing that's happening. That doesn't make the one bad less bad. And the companies are trying to do this shit, too, because we have an enabler.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, if Steam would just stop having such a punchable face, we'd stop punching them. But you know what? To be fair, and I know you're just saying that very tongue-in-cheek, but to be fair, like, we have heard from folks on this show that say at the end of the day, even if they're getting less of a cut from Steam, there's things that Steam offer them that are more attractive right now, right? haven't we had folks that have said, I still prefer Steam because of the integrated leaderboards, the online that's there, you know, and these other things that Steam will do, that maybe that is worth it to them to have that greater cut of the game. And that's fine. That's a developer's choice to make at the end of the day, right? So competition, that's great.
Competition is good. I mean, especially it's pretty much the model for capitalism right there. But at the same time, again, they need to not pull those bullying tactics to try to get the companies to do what they want them to do. They should let it, the market, control itself in terms of making that competition, saying, hey, this business practice is working better. Maybe we should modify our model instead of, you know, online bullying.
Sia Tabiri, and I'll let him have the final thought here in our chat, says, that's part of the problem with the 24-hour news cycle. There's too much going on out at the same time, and by the time there's any actual understanding of what's going on, people are tired or no longer interested because it's been repeated and pulled in 50 different directions. And you know, you might think that comment's about politics, and it very well could be, but I think that comment also very much applies to social media and gaming and, you know, gaming blogs and Twitter and Facebook and so on.
I agree with that. Absolutely,
absolutely. Applies. Sorry. So
our we're so used to having everything just instant. And that's, well, and not to go too crazy on this, we can move on after this, but it's also having a psychological effect on how we translate information on how we disseminate it. But I think it's also going back into that instant gratification I was talking about earlier, how everyone wants their stuff now. There needs to be a big change, but that's a topic for another day.
All right. So this is pretty awesome. So as I mentioned, I just picked up Breath of the Wild for the Switch, and I still haven't got a chance to play with the Labo VR mode. But there may be a better way to do the Labo VR. And actually, if you don't have Labo VR, but you have a PlayStation VR,
that's me.
You may actually get to play it in VR with both. So how exactly will you be able to do this? Well, it's a little bit of some complicated, I guess, rearranging of cables, but you can do it. So what you basically do is you reroute the video signal from your Switch into your PlayStation VR breakout box, and then with changing some of the cables around, you can actually get it to output to your TV and to the VR headset. And because the VR mode works when docked, which I'm sure is just an oversight by the folks at Nintendo, that now you can actually kind of play it in at least 3D on the VR headset. So, yeah.
Sorry, I just have to jump in with a chat comment because Bobby is, and he was talking a little bit about Zelda VR on his show tonight, but he's saying, you don't want to play Zelda in VR, trust me. And he's talking about that it kind of makes you sick. Like, it's just not very good the way it's done. And I'm sure it probably has to do with the fact that, you know, it's really meant to be done in, like, short spurts as well, but it really just sounds like it was kind of like an afterthought. And it's just like even though, LOL, we can hack it to run on the PlayStation VR, it really just sounds like it's just not worth your fucking time.
I'm still going to try it once just for the hell of it, because why not? Because I have a PlayStation VR, it's not being
just
used for anything.
Just don't eat lunch first.
I don't know. The motion stuff doesn't really bother me too much. Like, just like how they had, I used to play on the Gear VR, the Minecraft on there, and they have, okay, you can teleport around or you can move around. We don't recommend the moving around because it might make you motion sick. And I'm just like, I'm running all over the place. And it doesn't bother me too much. So we'll see. And I'm sure that there's no head tracking with it because obviously it's just the video. So the video would be in 3D, but I don't know. I'll try it once and then I'll be done with it.
Well, Bobby is saying you wouldn't try it because you don't like puking. But also it's a jittery frame rate seems to be the really big problem. And I can see where that gets really annoying really fast. And it really just feels like this whole thing was tacked on as an afterthought. Yay, cute. But like, seriously, not, you know, I have a feeling most people are going to be in the try once cap. Like, you know, somebody can say, don't do that. You shouldn't do that. But of course, and Bobby, you know this, you tell somebody, don't do that, it's make you sick. And what's somebody going to say? I'm going to do it because somebody told me not to, and fuck the law. Right?
Feeling cute, might throw up later.
But, I mean, that's fine. If you don't want to do that, at the very least, you got some better load times out of it. Because apparently people are finding that the load times have been reduced thanks to this newest update. So you can enjoy that. And I guess that's also working out good for the speed running community because it's cutting down their times as well because there's less load time. Neat.
All right, well, let's talk about other Nintendo stories. And this one is kind of putting a definitive foot down on some rumors and things that we've been hearing previously, is that Nintendo was going to show off some new hardware at E3 this year. At first, it was there's going to be a more powerful and a less powerful Switch console. And then that got dialed back last week. The rumors were, well, now they're just going to do the less powerful one because the more powerful one's not ready yet. Well, guess what? Now, Shuntaro Furukawa, that is Nintendo's president, has come out and basically put his foot down and said, none of that. So, in a meeting with investors, he mentioned that the company does not have plans to announce any new hardware at E3 this year. That is not happening. So, that was from a Twitter, basically during an investor conference call. A person from Reuters who is on Twitter says, Nintendo CEO says no plan to announce new hardware at E3 show. Nintendo CEO said nothing announced on possible new hardware, but it is always developing hardware internally. That part's not really news because we've said this a million times before. The minute the PlayStation 4 came out, Sony was already working on PlayStation 5. That's how long these types of things take to develop. So is Nintendo working on a different Switch console? Oh, abso-fucking-lutely. Is there more than one of them? Based on these rumors, probably. Is it happening this year? Well, sounds like nope, because they just came out very – the president of Nintendo said ain't happening.
Well, didn't they say specifically E3? So maybe they'll do their own – Direct.
They could do something, you know, around the time of Tokyo Game Show or something like that. I know Nintendo doesn't do Tokyo Game Show, but that hasn't stopped them from doing announcements around that time. But I think the good news out of this is that this means that E3. Well, for one, I'm totally okay with the Switch having another year just as it is. Like, I wasn't all about the hardware refresh right now. So I think a hardware refresh in another year will be even better, and it'll be more attractive to want to buy at that time. But that means E3 is going to be all about the games. So I'm really hoping, and Dark Sakura, relevant to your interests, Animal Crossing ought to dominate the conversation at E3 this year, along with, I assume, Metroid Prime 4, and we should get an E3 that's going to be games, and less about hardware, since now they're not going to be trying to sell new consoles. So that will be, I don't think this is such bad news at the end of the day, to be honest. Now, okay, you know, other thoughts, though. Shad Starzik in chat says, I was hoping to get a new revision for Pokemon. That's an interesting perspective because, you know, Pokemon would be a great time to pair up with new hardware. And I think that's why a lot of people were thinking Nintendo might go in the direction of a smaller Switch console. After all, was it Pokemon X and Y or was it Sun and Moon when the 2DS came out, right? I think it was X and Y. The 2DS came out right when, like, X and Y came out. And that was kind of a thing to try to put out, like, a lower budget model for the kiddies that want to play Pokemon. Although, is it really just kids that play? I don't know. I think it's just many. Looking at my Twitter feed on who all wants to go see Detective Pikachu next week, it is definitely kids and adults.
This bitch.
It's, yeah, for sure.
Let's go.
I didn't even, like, here's
I haven't seen Endgame yet.
I don't mean to.
I see that too.
Girl, I haven't seen a Marvel movie since the first Avengers.
Captain Marvel was great.
So I'm sure it was. And Black Panther, I'm sure, was great too. I haven't seen any of them since. It's not that I have anything against this particular movie. I've been treating all the movies the same. I just haven't had time. But I do really want to see Detective Pikachu. I will say that. I'm really hoping and praying they didn't fuck this up. And you know, there's that buzz online that's saying that some of the early press screening reviews are saying they didn't fuck it up. So we'll see. Grain of salt. Anyway, SSU100 Matt says, I would like to see them talk and show more Nintendo Online exclusive stuff. You know, that would definitely be an asset and something to help sell more Nintendo Online stuff. Maybe E3 is the time they're going to put out the Super Nintendo stuff. That would sure make a lot of sense. But also, I think Tetris 99 has turned out to be a much bigger deal than anyone thought it would be necessarily. So I would expect we're going to see something else, something that's like small but powerful, like Tetris 99 kind of was for the online setup. I don't know. We'll see. Loki, what are your thoughts on all this?
I just hope there's some good game announcements. I'm sure they'll show more of the new Pokemon games. And, of course, Animal Crossing. But I guess I just want to see what else is coming up. Like Metroid, too. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, let's move on to our next story, Dark Sakura. We're going to get to the classic game of the week in just a little bit. But first...
I actually found this, like, super randomly, too. But it was... there's this hacking that took place in 2018 that targeted the Asus Live update tool so it would affect various pieces of software with malware. As it was figured out, basically, there's reports from ESET and Kaspersky that says that the same group is also responsible for infecting a video game development tool that has infected several video games on the programming level. Meaning it's not because they're bootlegs, you're downloading it from any third-party source. The direct versions of these are infected. About 92,000 computers were exposed to malware. They're all PCs.
But to be fair, all the or not all of it, but the majority of this, so that our listeners don't get freaked out. The majority of this is happening in.
I was going to be getting to that.
Just making sure.
No,
because I'd be freaking out maybe.
I know. Basically, yeah, it did occur mostly in Asia, especially in Thailand. But there have been more reports outside of the region. Two of the studios who were affected in particular are Electronics Extreme and Zepeto. So of their games affected was Infestation and Point Blank, all one word, not to be confused with the Namco one. And so if you've got those games, just be careful, run a malware search on your computer. The malware does not affect functions on computers that are set to use simplified Chinese. So that means that likelihood, that means that it was a Chinese developer that put out that particular bit of malware. And it actually spreads, I mean, like I said, normally malware will spread through third-party tampering afterwards when you're getting a bootleg game. But in this case, it is all through the legitimate copies of those particular games. Those two in particular, so just be careful of them.
Interesting. You know, I was kind of thinking while you were talking about that, when we talk about like game development and thinking about like where games are headed. Isn't it going to be interesting, though, when we start getting into more cloud gaming, where it's not necessarily going to be something that you necessarily download on your own computer or laptop or other device that you're playing games on anymore, because so much, you know, between Stadia and, you know, and so forth will be up in the cloud.
Look at the source. And what people just say, oh, the cloud, whatever, is that these particular services are highly encrypted and meant to work on the device that they connect to. What you have on your computer will not affect the cloud-based service. What they're going to deliver is what they deliver. Even if you had, and I know this from experience, even if you had like a bajillion pieces of malware on your computer, it's not going to affect the content that you put on a cloud-based service because right. They have their own local protection and local encryption.
Right. So, and honestly, so my kind of whole point is that this method of attack is not going to be able to really work on the cloud. Although right. I'm sure there are evil people out there, for lack of a better term, that would love to hack the cloud. Absolutely. I'm sure.
Well, and again, Amazon
Web Services and these big web providers, right?
And keep in mind, it's not the cloud. It is cloud service for this provider.
The cloud is a concept.
Not really. Not really. The cloud itself, the term of a cloud, is going to refer to each individual service. When people's like, oh, I don't trust the cloud. Well, which one do you not trust? Is it Google services? Is it iCloud? Is it going to be Microsoft's cloud-based service? Is it going to be Amazon's cloud-based service? Which fucking cloud are you talking about? There are how many clouds in the sky? Well, I'm afraid the cloud is going to rain on me. Which cloud? Is it the black one over there that looks like it's going to rain? Or is it this white fluffy one over here that's doing jack shit to you?
I don't like cloud either. His hair is too big.
Girl. But I'm saying is that people have this like concept of a cloud, and it's not a concept anymore. It is a working system for each provider of this cloud service. The cloud is not something up in the air. It's a computer server sitting in some closet in whatever company's IT location.
I got to read some good comments from our chat here.
It's not a cloud.
Bob Coffee in chat says, it's like the claw from Toy Story, only it's the cloud. Bonds 006 in chat says, thank you, Jamie. So many times I hear people say that exact. I don't trust the cloud. Isn't that? But you'll put all your money in a bank. You don't trust the cloud, but you put all your money in a bank.
Same diff. Well, and on top of that, most of our money isn't physical money per se. It's in line with
money is just a concept.
Well, it's how it's becoming. Well, at least here, I know in other countries they're still very much, you know, physical money based. But a lot of our fundage is, you know, people were like poo pooing on cryptocurrency, but how much of your do a lot of people get a physical cash sum of money in their hand and individual bills and coins that they are going to then put in a box somewhere to save? Or are you getting direct deposit? Are you getting a check? You're getting a representation. That's anyway, sorry.
No, it's fine. Cause Bobby, not to go too far down this rabbit hole, but Bobby Blackwolf in chat says money here is just a concept. Yes. It only has value because everyone agrees it has value.
Social contract.
You just defined Bitcoin.
Exactly. That's what I brought up, cryptocurrency. It's the same difference, really. Yeah. You know, it's just the only reason that cryptocurrency was having such a thing is because they told you flat out, no, this is your virtual money. You know, they don't need to have cryptocurrency because our own currency is digital.
You can pay me in Travis Donovan Funbucks if you want, but the bummer is Starbucks don't take it.
Exactly. We have no need for cryptocurrencies because our currency is already in the ether.
Shouldn't OLR have a currency, though?
Girl, do you know what a actual tax burden that would be for us? Would have to register as...
It was just a concept. All right, anyway.
I know, but you know me. I think actual logistics when for half a moment I think something might be a good idea.
All right, well, before we scare people too much, let's move on to our next story. Loki.
I would, by the way, be paid in blood orange as Questbuster. Just saying.
Well, to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the Game Boy, as we talked about last week, there was this wonderful post by GitHub pointing out this GB Studio by, I guess, Chris Maltby. So what he did is he created this, he created a game for a game jam called Untitled GB Game. And with that, he also built tools to basically build Game Boy ROMs without any coding. And so he's actually releasing those tools to allow anybody to go ahead and make stuff with it. You can make actual Game Boy ROMs. So if you're interested in checking it out, you can go download it at gbstudio.dev. And and it looks like it's pretty straightforward as far as like an editor for games and stuff. And maybe you can make something out of it. It looks like he made an adventure game out of using those tools. And I think that's pretty cool. It'd be something fun to mess around with. And since it actually makes real Game Boy ROMs, that'll be handy when that Game Boy Classic Edition comes out someday. So, yeah. I'm going to check it out.
Are you going to start and never finish a game in GB Studio?
Probably will never start.
I think it's great, though. I love it because we kind of had – there was this and there was something at GDC about the NES and you can make your own games. So I'm kind of loving this whole like, hey, it's like the Unreal Engine, but you make Game Boy games with it or you make Nintendo games with it.
Speaking of Unreal Engine, when you were talking about ZZT earlier, I was wondering, like thinking about, oh, man, wouldn't it be awesome if they like remastered ZZT in the Unreal Engine? It's just super like super well textured and lit text characters.
All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Something else that I think some people are going to be hyped about is the upcoming mobile title Mario Kart Tour. Mario Kart Tour is anticipated in the summer of 2019. But if you want to get your hands on it early, they are opening up a beta test. So you can sign up for a beta test from now. It already started through May 7th. And the beta test is planned from May 22nd through June 4th. So I bet we're going to get a lot more information about what Mario Kart Tour is around that time when the beta opens up. Unfortunately, though, the beta is limited to Android, so it will not be a beta on the iOS platform. I'm going to assume that could be because I cannot remember the name of the application that allows you to beta test over there, but I used it because Niantic, you had to have it, the test wheel or something. I don't remember the name of the app, but there's a side app that you load on your phone that allows you to basically run the beta test stuff. I think you're limited to like 1,000 deploys or something like that. I want to say that's a thing I've heard somewhere. So I imagine that Nintendo does not want to just open that up for an open beta test. They're probably still testing on iOS, but they're probably just doing that internally instead. They're going to open this one up. They're stress testing to Android, where it'll probably be a little bit easier to get it out there to folks. So that is my thought anyway. I certainly don't know anything concrete on that. So. But I imagine those of you, because you're the only Android person here, right? So maybe, are you going to sign up for that? Are you going to check out the...
Already did it.
So, all right, cool. All right. Well, let's move on. We're going to take a trip down memory lane. We're going to go back to a time when you didn't beta test games. You know what? If something screwed up in-house testing, it was a feature, not a bug. It's the classic game of the week, and Dark Soccer is going to walk us down memory lane and visit a classic game from her vault, her archives. And this is an interesting one you picked this week, I think, Dark Soccer.
I tried to go for something a little bit different. It's actually a game I didn't get a lot of play in myself. I played the sequel a good bit more than this one.
All right. Well, I want to hear all about it. What is the classic game of the week?
The game is Pool Radiance. It is one of the AD&D games. If you don't know, it's Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. But it is a role-playing video game that was put out by Strategic Simulations, Inc., SSI, in 1988. So some of you didn't exist, and that makes me sad. It is the first of TSR's AD&D games. This is back when TSR owned Dungeons & Dragons. But it was the first adaptation of the tabletop game for a home computer. It was the first episode in a four-part series of these. It was the Gold Box series that used the game engine that was created for this one. It was used in later D&D titles, including Neverwinter Nights. But the game is Pool of Radiance. It takes place in the Forgotten Realms, if anyone did, you know, Forgotten Realms D&D. I didn't do a lot of Forgotten Realms myself. I played a little bit in it on tabletop, but mostly Planescape and Dragonlance, because I love Dragonlance. Anyway,
just a quick note too for those that are watching on Twitch, and you can hear the background noise as well. I'm sure Dark Soccer will talk about the multi-platform, but you're gonna see the Amiga version of this for a couple minutes, and it's gonna flip over to the NES version here in a moment.
Okay, because yeah, it's hard to find gameplay that people aren't blabbing over.
Well, we took that gameplay and then we just put the soundtrack music over it, so
exactly.
It worked out. Yeah,
we're easy that way. Anyway, it takes part in around the port city of Phlan, Phlan, Phlan. You can make your party up to six characters. You decide your race, your gender, your class, and your ability scores. You basically are just doing questing, really, because isn't that what D&D is? Where you go on a quest and you do shit and then you get money for it. And then you try not to die when a dragon shows up. But at any rate, you move around from the various characters, you for various areas. You battle, you know, enemies as you do. And then you grow with experience points that let you increase your capabilities. Again, just like D&D. And then you have different perspectives in the game. So you usually start with a first-person perspective with the screen divided into sections of with pertinent information. And then combat is done in a top-down, what's called video game isometric view. At any rate, it was a very well-received game for what it was. Pool of Radiance won the Origins Award for Best Fantasy or Science Fiction Computer Game of 1988. Some people said it was a little bit too similar to other games, but the graphics and its role-playing and combat aspects were very, very, very well lauded. And of course, this is you could export your player characters from Pool of Radiance to the subsequent games in the series. And it used that same AD&D set, so this was more like 1.5 era of D&D, maybe second edition. And then, of course, you know, you had your exploration mode that uses that first-person perspective. You had, you know, different characters that you would meet. You would see your people lined up. You had your character stat information. In combat, it was diametric projection, where you would decide the actions that the character would take place in each round. Of course, you know, designed by your hit points. You would have different combat options depending on class, like your melee and ranged weapons. Magic users have spells. Thieves can do backstab by positioning themselves. So it had, like, all kinds of different points for multiple different types of game systems. But, again, it was set in Forgotten Realms in the around the city of Flan. It was located on the northern shore of the Moon Sea, along the Barren River between Zentil Keep and Melvant, if anyone still remembers their geography from Forgotten Realms. So at any rate, it was, again, the first game built on AD&D rules. The scenario was created by several of the big TSR designers, Jim Moore, David Cook, Stephen Winter, and Mike Brault. And then it was programmed by the Special Projects team at SSI. It was meant to be, it was actually created to play on Apple II and Commodore 64. And then the game engine was used again for other series that were in the Gold Box series. It actually did have books that came out later, so it brought out more manuals. And it brought information from some of the other core D&D books, including The Unearthed Arcana and Monster Manual 2. And then, of course, there were books that came out afterwards, but there also were so many different versions that came out after that. So it was first on Commodore 64, Apple II series, IBM PC compatible computers at the time. It was announced for Atari ST. The Mac version came out in 1989, and it had a slightly different interface that was meant to work on the black and white Macs as well, like the Mac Plus and Mac Classic. And then there was also an Amiga version that came out as we were looking at. PC 9800 in Japan had a fully translated version and had full color graphics. There was the version on the NES that came out as Advanced Dungeons & Dragons Pool of Radiance in 1992 when it came out. And it was the only version to have a complete soundtrack that was composed by Tōda Seiji. And he was also signed to Pony Canyon's label at the time, so there was a soundtrack release. The same soundtrack also came on the PC 9801 version. The Amiga version had extra music, but while the other versions just had like one song that would play through it. It came with a 28-page booklet that talked more about, you know, the concepts behind it and the character creation, just the how-to. This is a 38-page adventurer's journal that had the game's background. So it really came with just a bunch of stuff for those PC versions.
Back in my day, before I had to go to an internet site to see it all.
Well, and then there was a copy protection that used lined up pictures, so you had to use a decoder wheel. And after three unsuccessful attempts, the game would shut itself down. So there were later versions. The other ones that came out was Curse of the Azure Bonds in 1989, Secret of Silver Blades 1990, and Pools of Darkness in 1991. There's also a game called Hillsfar that was not in the Pools of Radiance series, but it was another D&D game. And it actually, all these games got good write-ups in Dragon Magazine as well. You can import your Pools of Radiance characters into Hillsfar as well, but they were just reduced to basic levels and didn't have any of their magic abilities or magic content. It was really just such a big package, Pools of Radiance was. And then, of course, there were novelizations that were released as well. D&D put out a game module called Ruins of Adventure that used the same adventure scenario in Pools of Radiance, including the plot, everything. And it actually has clues that would be useful in the computer missions as well. And then, you know, Ruins of Adventure had the, linked mini scenarios, which the whole thing is the core of Pool of Radiance. So it was very, like I said, very, very well received. And of course, It was compared to Might and Magic and Bard's Tale. Both use very similar formats. But in the long run, this game was really considered just one of the, I'd say, cores of that tabletop style of computer gaming. And really, it was just, you know, one of the best. And then, of course, the one that I played the most of, though, and I might bring this up later, was Pool of Radiance, Ruins of Mythdrenor. So that came out in 2001 as released by Ubisoft. So, but we'll go into that one for another classic game.
All right.
But there you go.
There it
Pool
is.
Pool of Radiance.
Your classic game of the week.
Where my D&D nerds at? Second edition for life.
You got some people in chat that are shouting you out from that pick. Yeah, and I remember that. That was a huge series. It really was, like, on the home computing systems.
You're a Commodore dude.
I didn't even realize. Oh yeah, I remember all those games on Commodore. I didn't really play them. I didn't super get into them. Ultima was more my jam, but I digress. Because, well, it was really the NES versions of Ultima that sucked me in, because I played Ultima Exodus and Ultima Quest the Avatar. I played those games on NES. But what's funny is that as much I was well aware of the AD&D series on computer, I never knew there was an NES version. I somehow missed that they ported that to the Nintendo at one point.
Well, and it came out, you know, a couple of years later, so
yeah.
It was very late in the line of, you know, the Nintendo-y stuff.
And well,
not
is,
the Nintendo-y stuff, but in the series of the game.
That is, and I think you referenced it in your spiel, but that is early, early Ubisoft that we're looking at, basically, yeah. With that. And that's
well,
kind of...
And like I said, Ubisoft had the licensing for the release of the Ruins of Mythdrenor later. Which now, when any Forgotten Realms thing that I did, Mythdrenor was the shit.
It's really interesting how many of those companies from back in the day are actually still around, especially when you look at the rest of the world and it's like, wow, all the stores we shopped at as a kid are closing. But Ubisoft, still around. Activision, still around. ECA, dropped the C at some point, became EA, but they're still around. So it's just kind of interesting how a lot of those like old school computing game makers.
They were electronic computer entertainment, right?
They were. And they put out like Piano Construction Set and Pinball Construction Set. Those are all Racing Deconstruction Set, and they had a whole bunch of games. Those are my jam back in the day. So anyway, but I digress. Actually, I'm glad you brought up Commodore a little bit here, because our break tonight has to do with Commodore 64 and a recent like kind of homebrew type demake, if you will, that's been going around a lot this past couple weeks. So I decided to take a closer look in this quick little break segment tonight. Enjoy. Okay, hello everybody from my other studio, the office. I thought for our break in the main studio this week, we could take a look at this new kind of release for the Commodore 64. Yeah, a system that's well over 30, almost 35 years old at this point. There's this new release of an old game, Super Mario 64, or Super Mario Brothers 64. Not to be confused with, of course, the Nintendo 64 version, but more the Commodore 64. So as you can see on the title screen here, this is Super Mario Brothers 64. I've actually muted the music here because we're on what's called, what you would see a lot in the old Commodore 64 games, a loader screen. Sometimes it has its own custom music, and this particular one is very dark and ominous. I'll unmute it for a minute, but you can hear it's just like this really kind of like low, like kind of scary sounding thing almost. So I'm not sure, and I will confess I'm running it through an emulator. I'm not sure if the emulator is butchering it somehow or something, but I think it's just kind of a little bit of a weird launcher. But it looks really nice, so I'm going to mute that again for a minute while I set this up. Because I'm sure on Bobby's show tonight, I know he went to a classic computing show in the Atlanta area, and I think he got his hands on this as well. But I know a lot of people out there have been talking about this game a lot this week just because of the fact that, oh, this is kind of like a new release of an older game, but it's not that we haven't necessarily seen stuff like Super Mario Brothers on the Commodore 64 before. Folks have definitely done hacks of the Great Gianna Sisters, which was a game that was very similar to Super Mario Brothers. In fact, so similar that it was pulled from the market at one point and Nintendo shut it down. Just like folks are saying, they're shutting this one down too, but is anybody really surprised? Probably not. But this one's kind of new. You know, it just came out. You can see even here on the splash screen, it's been worked on for 7 years by this zero page. And, you know, considering the technology we're talking about here, the fact that this will run on an actual Commodore 64, This is very impressive how much of the Nintendo game they kind of shoved into this. So let's actually take a look at this here. So I'm going to unmute this so we can do the launcher screen again. I'm going to use my joystick to start the game. I should make sure I'm in the right window here. And start the game there. Let me move my mouse out of the way just so it's not getting in the way. And there we go. You can see it's loading there. A little cute little loading. And look at that, the intro screen, Super Mario Brothers, just like you might see it on the Nintendo. And I'm going to hit my fire button to start. And I apologize, you're going to hear the clacking of my mechanical keyboard in the background. But you'll notice, one thing I noticed right off the bat is that it has a very faithful sound adaptation to the NES, which is interesting because the Commodore 64 SID chip was really nothing like the NES. So they've really reproduced it faithfully in this. One interesting difference between the Commodore 64 and the NES is that the Commodore 64 only has one fire button on the joystick. And, of course, the NES had the A button and the B button. So that doesn't necessarily translate very well. What they end up doing is that the up key ends up being your jump. So, and when I say key, of course, here I am playing in an emulator, so it is mapped to a key because I'm playing on the keyboard. But if you were to be playing with an actual joystick, I'm sure you can imagine if you were actually using up to jump, that might control a little weird compared to what you're used to when you're actually playing on an NES, where, you know, you have A and B, and B is your run and A is your jump, and you can kind of, I think control things a little bit better that way. So having up as your jump, I'm sure if you're using a legitimate Commodore joystick, is probably going to, it's going to cause you to probably jump at times you don't really want to. But for emulation, it works pretty well. It is interesting to note that the Great Giana sisters actually did the same thing. Great Giana sisters used up for its jump as well because, of course, there's only one fire button. But in the Giana sisters, you couldn't run. So control in this is your run button slash oops. You'll notice I threw one fireball before I screwed up there while I was talking. And I threw my one fireball and that was the control key that did that as well. I think that, did that shell just clip through those monsters? I didn't even pay enough attention there. So it's probably not a perfect, oops, I died. Not a perfect translation. If it was perfect, I wouldn't have died right then. But still, again, very impressive considering the technology, how faithful it is. I mean, sure, it's, you know, those question mark blocks are a little, you know, not quite the same fidelity that you would see on the NES. The Goombas especially, you can probably see how different they are. Let's see if I can remember. Ooh, and notice that slowdown when there's all the animations of the blocks and everything. Let's see if I can probably really slow it down with the superstar here. Oh, yeah, there's that slowdown. How about that? I'm sure you could do some tricks in the emulator to help the game through some of that. I'm just trying to make a beeline for the end here because I want to see if we can get the warp zone in this version. But I think since this is a pretty faithful adaptation, I'm expecting to see the warp zone. So let's take the lift up there. And there we are, running on the top, running on the top. We did it! We warped! Level 4. Does anyone ever pick 2 or 3? I'm sure somebody out there is raising their hand. Well, I did it this one time. Most people would just want to go straight to World 4 to continue on. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you know, considering that some versions of Mario that were on the Commodore 64 previously might have hacked, like, the first 4 stages or something, the fact that somebody went out there and actually reproduced the complete game is pretty awesome, and is pretty likely to be shut down by Nintendo already. But, you know what they say, once on the internet, always on the internet, so I can't exactly tell you where to get this yourself, but I'm sure if you know where to look, you'll find it pretty easy. Anyway, there it is, a look at the ROM that everybody's talking about this week. Very old game, very old system, but very cool to see these types of things remade. You know you love it when you see things like Halo on the Atari 2600. Come on, D-makes are awesome. Anyway, that's going to do it for me. Let's go back to the studio live. Let's go back to the studio live. Thank you, me, for that look at Super Mario Brothers on the Commodore 64. Some comments in the chat. Orange Wright says, this is cool. Questbuster says, the person behind this did a really good job. Yeah, for sure. Dr. Sia says, I go 3 just to get all the one-ups. Oh, okay, yeah, when I was doing the warp zone there at the end, you can get all those one-ups in World 3. Okay, fair enough. And some conversation there. Dr. Sia asking about the C64 Mini. Bobby Blockwolf saying, I haven't tried it yet, but I have it, the C64 Mini and this ROM. Bobby also adding, I'm still skeptical if Nintendo actually sent a C&D or if they just said they got C&D to get press. Who knows? Well, if that was the case, it worked, that's for sure. But as I kind of referenced earlier, you know, Nintendo would certainly be well within their rights to do it. But it is still an impressive feat nonetheless. Anyway, speaking of like cease and desist and so forth, we're going to get into some rapid fire news here in a moment. But in the past few weeks at this part of the show, Dark Sakura has usually promoted a podcast or hyped something up. I don't know if you have something this week, but I have something.
Why don't you go ahead and do it?
Well, because I have something on the other side of it.
Well,
I have
just
something.
Do it.
I have something I'm going to demote this week and tell you what.
Go for it.
Oh, Loki has something to promote?
Sure.
Okay.
It's not really promotion, but we'll just go ahead and say it. Happy birthday, Naoki! It's his birthday today.
Oh, okay, well, I'm all about promoting Naoki. Naoki Mide, of course, from Konami, who did pretty much all the in-house music in the early DDR and our roots in the old school Dance Dance Revolution. We got to meet him once. I think I met him more than once. I met him once at that. You and I met him at that Konami thing where they unveiled Supernova, right? Because people don't know, Loki was like the first person outside Konami to play Supernova in the U.S. And that was the second. What was I going to say? Oh, at E3, that year they did the Kinect game, whatever that thing was called. It was like the para-para sorta with the Kinect. He was there that year.
Was that also the year like I just pretty much followed around Igarashi the whole time?
Yeah, it was Dance Evolution. But like, yeah, I remember like everyone's like, oh my God, Metal Gear Solid 3 or something like that. I'm like, oh my God, Supernova. Who cares about your Super Metal Gear Solid 3? I don't want to play that. And everyone's like, yeah, I'm not playing that.
I think there was a particular reason we were, because, you know, that was like the first time you and I got invited to something. And you were, of course, I say you and I, but Jamie just had a conflict with work or something and couldn't go. We were all invited. But, like, you and I went, we had to, like, sign stuff and, like, all this thing because, like, that was the first big thing we got to do. And I think because that's what they were showing and they knew who we were.
Yes. And then we also learned that apparently, even though we all signed an NDA, everybody, they had deals with certain outlets to break that NDA. Early, because, you know, we're not IGN.
Yeah, we got a lesson in some harsh realities in the industry. Anyway, I wanted to talk about this at some point, so I'll talk about it during our segment where we usually talk about other podcasts. So there's a big app that came out this week, and they've been doing a lot of advertising, and you might have heard about this on some different like websites and stuff. And I really didn't want to name it by name to give it any additional press, but I think I'm going to have to just to tell you to basically stay away from it and why I'm really unhappy with what they're doing. It is called Luminary. And you've probably seen this on some billboards. You've probably seen about it on Twitter and so forth. And basically what they're trying to do is they're wanting to be the Netflix of podcasting. So they are basically going to be offering a variety of podcasts. And, you know, when they first kind of pitched it, they said that they're going to be putting out like 40 celebrity podcasts. So like, I don't know, like Trevor Noah has a podcast on there. John Cameron Mitchell, who was Hedwig and the Angry Inch and all that, has a show on there. Lena Dunham. Sigh has a podcast on there. So it's this, you know, new thing, and they want to charge you basically a monthly fee to listen to these premium podcasts. And that was my first problem when I first heard about this thing, as I said, well, okay, y'all, that's not really a podcast now if you're charging for it, right? You're charging people $8 a month. That's like an audible.com competitor. That's what you are. You're an audio, you know, you're selling songs like iTunes or one of those types of sites. You're not really podcast when you're charging for it, but whatever, because I kind of looked at the whole thing and I was just like, I don't know. Whatever. We'll see what they do. But then the app came out this week, and guess what, y'all? They added a ton of free podcasts, regular podcasts, to this app without asking.
Really?
And, mm-hmm. Guess who's there?
Us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we send them a cease and desist.
We can. I've thought about doing it. Here's why I haven't done it yet. I'll get to that point in a minute here. And I'm going to tell you why this pisses me off. Because luminaries come from this perspective where they're saying, oh, well, all these free providers, we're just kind of like helping them get out there and all that stuff. And, you know, we want to spread, they're free providers and all this stuff. And I'm like, wait a fucking minute. That's not what you're doing. You're using us to promote your pay
and
shit.
They're not giving us any money.
Yeah, exactly.
We pay to do what we do.
Are you saying Lena Dunham is more special than I am? Fuck you. That's what I have to say about that. Like, I'm sorry. You're not going to use this show or any show to promote some type of like fee-based gateway, as if there's these podcasts that are more premium, that are greater than others for whatever reason, because one, that's not a podcast. You're selling a fucking audiobook, you're selling a spoken song. You're selling not a stand-up comedy album, but you know, something like
we
that.
We need to do a cease and desist and publish it.
Well, girl, it's done been started. Oh, like, you know, large podcasts that are already free, like Joe Rogan and all that stuff, have already sent those types and gotten delisted from the platform. The only reason I haven't held up from sending one for OLR yet is I've said, you know what? I'm going to give them 7 days. I'm going to give them 7 days to say, how am I going to get paid? Here's that. And I have never asked for money from doing OLR and all this stuff. But in my opinion, Luminary, if you are going to use free shows to promote Lena fucking Dunham, then I want to know, where's my cut?
I'm going to tweet them right now.
You and hundreds of other
people.
It's
going to be like, when are you going to pay us back for the money that we put into our show if you're going to put it out there for free?
So anyway, please, when you see these types of things go on out there, please question them. And when you see them, like, that's the part that pisses me off. They're using all of these free shows and they're saying, oh, it's promotion and all this stuff. And we didn't even get into the part where they were like, for a hot minute before they really got in hot water, they were like streaming it to their own servers. And like, so that we couldn't even track stats if people were listening for Luminary. Good. I don't think anybody is listening through Luminary. And I think they fucked this launch so hard. They had like $1 million investment or something like that. They fucked this so hard. They're going to go under. Loki, I'm sorry. You look like you were dying to chime in. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I wasn't chiming in. I was just looking at their website, which seems stupid. We give you access to all these podcasts.
Except
you're not really giving people access to the podcast. You can download their app on the app stores, which you can also download podcasts on those app stores. So I'm not really sure. That's stupid.
Here's what I said. If you are listing OLR, then you need to ask for our permission. If you are going to use us to make money for your paid content, then you need to pay us for our work.
Fair enough. That's all I'm asking. Absolutely. So anyway.
And I'm going to tag it with Respect Podcasters.
I do want to remind everybody the official outlets for this show where we have asked to be listed are iTunes Podcasts and Google Play Podcasts. There are some other apps out there as well that also carry this show. And because they're not charging you money and they're, you know, free. TuneIn, I think, actually would be one I would endorse as well, because we did ask to be on there. And there's a few others that aren't coming to me in the moment. I have heard the request to get this on Spotify, and I actually am a Spotify premium person myself. I have no problem with Spotify, and asking to be on there will be fine. It's just I need to do some behind the scenes changes before we do that move there. It's nothing important or anything, but I don't want to do that yet.
Well, I do have a podcast to promote. And they are a Sacramento podcast.
Okay, cool. Yes, let's end this on a positive note, please. Okay.
It's called Our Turn Gaming for Everyone. It's OurTurnPodcast.com. Looks like they do board games and tabletop gaming. And they also highlight and encourage the views and accomplishments of women, queer people, and people of color. So definitely. And I'm just going to say queer people instead of the acronyms, just because we're all a little queer. So... but yeah, definitely give them a check out. They've been here for a little bit, not as long as us, because we old. But I found them through Breep, so definitely check them out.
I miss her. I hope she comes back to the show someday. All right.
She's doing mommy stuff.
I know. Hopefully she can get a break from that at some point when the kid's 18. All right, we'll still be here. All right, anyhow, let's get into some rapid-fire news. Loki.
All right, well, Sega Ages is doing some more games for the Switch platform. On the eShop right now, you can actually find Sega Ages Virtua Racing, and they've got some pretty cool features in here, including they've upped the FPS of the single and two-player modes to 60 FPS, which is, you know, far better than it actually ran originally. And then they also have, for anything above that, when that can be anything from 3 to 8 players on one console, you can actually do split screen there, and that's 30 FPS. But it's kind of funny the way they have the screen set up for that. Like, it's literally just like 3x3x2, so pretty neat. But yeah, you can check that out. I wonder if it's going to be coming out over here as well. But, you know, we can get the eShop stuff as well, I think, if you have a way to purchase that stuff. And then, of course, we have a date now for Shakedown Hawaii, which is a game I'm looking forward to. It is the kind of follow-up to Retro City Rampage. And it's going to be coming out on May 7th for $20 on PlayStation 4, Switch, and guess what? That system that everybody seems to forget about, the Vita, it is coming out there as well. And they're also going to be doing a physical version of Retro City Rampage as well on May 3rd. And you can get that for $29.99. It's going to be limited, though. Only 4,800 units are going to be available for that. I am looking forward to this. This one's actually, see, the Retro City Rampage is more like an NES GTA game. In fact, that's actually how it started. Originally, they were trying to create a GTA game in like an NES style. Well, actually, it was GTA on the NES, but then they found out that the system couldn't handle what they wanted to do, so they ended up making a GTA style game on PC and stuff. And now this one's like a Super Nintendo style 16-bit game, but same type of stuff. It looks awesome.
All right. Well, speaking of things that have limited runs, the company Limited Run Games has announced that they're going to be putting out a limited physical runs of Luminous Remastered, which, of course, was the redone version of the first Luminous game. They're going to be putting out a special limited run on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. So if you are looking for a physical media version of this, that'll be pretty awesome. There's going to be a regular release and a $140 Ultimate Edition for the ultimate Luminous fan, which I may or may not be, so I don't know. I don't know. $140, that's a lot of money. But they're trying to tempt you with a special light-up presentation box. Ooh, vinyl soundtrack. All right, that's pretty good. A keychain, an enamel pin, and a collector's certificate hand-signed by Mizuguchi himself. Ooh, so kind of charging for an autograph as well. That's pretty good. Anyway, the pre-orders already went up. They went up on April 26th, so I'm assuming it's probably already sold out. It probably went out like that. So even if I wanted it, it's probably already gone. Yeah, that's pretty cool that they're actually doing that, though. Also, something that was announced that people have to look forward to, Persona 5 Scramble, the Phantom Strikers. This is a game that is going to be coming out for PlayStation 4 and Switch, which is interesting because they still haven't confirmed an official release of Persona 5 for Switch, but whatever, there's going to be this at least. This is going to be a Musou type of game. It was announced during a Persona concert. They showed a trailer for it, so yeah, it's going to be interesting. That means like the Musou game? Dynasty Warriors? That's it? The one was like kill the
Sengoku Musou.
Mobs and mobs and mobs of people. So that's going to be kind of fun that Persona is getting a version of that. I'm sure fans will check that out as an aside. It's neat that Persona gets all these kind of like side games, you know, because there's dancing games and you know so on. Anyway, Darsakura, what do you have for us?
Well, more Fortnite bullshit, but this is good bullshit. Thanos is back. This is a tie-in with Endgame. But you will be able to control the Chitauri from the first movie, or whoever came with them. I didn't really watch all the way through the whatever. But anyway, the Reality Stone gives you health and shields doubled. The Soul Stone is Siphon for Thanos. Mind Stone is jump height doubled. Space Stone is ground pound AoE tripled. Time Stone is knockback added to each hit. And Power Stone is laser damage. Powerful.
In an awesome game on the Dreamcast.
Yes. And then in other news, Walmart in Canada basically had a little bit of fun with the Rage 2 League with a special pre-order box art. And it says, written around it, like, incorrect key art, wrong font, not all caps. And it was just pretty funny. They're saying, like, here... Hey, Walmart Canada, here's some. It's basically pretty funny. So, because they had unexpectedly leaked the list of games, and so they're having fun with themselves. So, it's actually the Walmart is the thing where they were called out for it. So, it's pretty funny. That's it.
All right. And let's talk a little bit about what is coming out. Not much, because we're in April, and it's pretty slow at this time of year. So we've got Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age. That's coming out on Switch and Xbox One. And U-Boat on PC. And that is it. Enjoy your Final Fantasy XII.
If I am not mistaken, it is Golden Week in Japan this week, if I'm not mistaken. So it's it is, the, as far as releases go, there really isn't anything. You can get some third-party peripherals and things like that, but that is really about the new stuff. I think last week was your last big week. So Japan has really got nothing to note this week as far as release dates.
In the UK, on the 29th, there's Final Fantasy 12, The Zodiac Age, Fade to Silence. Also, on May 2nd is Wasteland 2, Uppers. Sounds like a party there. The Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 2, and that's it.
All right, let's go to the mailbag then, I guess.
I'm full of cookies. There's no mail.
There's no emails?
No, it's a promo thing.
Oh, well then, that's, yeah, we don't read spam on air. Well, that means we get to talk about Drag Race if we didn't get any emails that participate at orangesonsradio.com.
Girl, Silky needs to go.
I didn't watch this last week.
That
I'm only up through Snatch
annoying.
Game. Who do you want to win at this point?
Well, I don't know, because Evie kind of disappointed me. And knowing what I know about this episode, I really don't want to spoil much, but I'm still down for Evie. My prediction for top four, and this is going to be excluding Silky from anything that exists, so, I mean, I'm sure that bitch is going to make it, but I don't want to name her, is I'm thinking Evie, Brooklyn, Vanjie, and...
her.
She's probably going to be there, but I'm actually going to more... Because, I don't know, they're not, just not saying enough good about Nina, and I think they might have a kind of... a bone to pick, I don't know, just that she's still too quirky or something. People don't really respect the campy queens.
I'm getting really irritated with Drag Race and the judging this season. It's really inconsistent, and I really feel like queens like Nina and Sugarcane, really notably, like
Sugarcane has been turning it, though.
I find that I really stand Sugarcane, and like she's completely invisible on the show, and it's like it's at the point where it's pissing me off. Like, especially for somebody that had like the best dress in the show's history that came down the runway a couple weeks ago. Like,
yeah.
It's just, it blows my mind that she's just getting slept on completely. And it's just like Naomi Smalls and All-Stars.
But the other thing, too, though, is that, I mean, if you think about, though, in the past, queens that, like, they're like, oh, you need to change your silhouette. You need to do different. What bitch didn't change her look at all and is the best winner ever? Bianca Del Rio.
No. Anyway, if you want us to not talk about Drag Race next week, you can send us an email, participate@orangeloungeradio.com, because otherwise we're just going to assume you want to hear more about our opinions on Drag Race. So from there, Loki, you can wake up and get
just saying. Sia Tabiri says, I think Nina has been doing much better than Vanjie, but I feel like Vanjie has been carried a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. Vanjie has been carried a lot, but...
but she's so addictive. Like, she's just, her personality, well, you just want to be
like
her friend.
They compared her to Alyssa Edwards.
Mm.
She's got that Alyssa factor where she could be a hot fucking mess and still you want to pay attention to
she's
her.
She's going to get her own show. Anyway, I promise we move on, so let's move on. All right, Loki.
Yeah, we'll just spoil Endgame and Game of Thrones instead next time. Just kidding. I wouldn't do that. All right. So let's talk a little bit about some new stuff coming to Overwatch. So this is kind of cool. They have this new Overwatch workshop mode, which allows you to create new game types in Overwatch itself. So I guess kind of fun ways to just mix up some of the rules in the game. So one example map that they created, or game mode, is basically the floor is lava. So if you are, I'm sorry, they're calling it molten floor. But, you know, it's the rules of the floor is lava. So if you touch the ground, you catch on fire, and that's the rule. And so there's a bunch of other fun things you can do and different stuff you can script out in there. But it's pretty neat. I saw another example where there was one where people have to do emotes to kill each other or insta-kill people or something like that. So that was something that was interesting. But I'm curious to see what kind of fun game modes come out of this. Oh, maybe I should fire up Overwatch. I haven't played it in a long time.
Yeah, I haven't played Overwatch in a hot minute either, and this kind of sounds interesting, though. I like these. It's just begging to like have these silly YouTubes and silly contests and competitions. This is really right up your alley, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds interesting, some of the stuff they're going to be able to do with this. So I can't wait to see in a couple weeks what we have.
All right. Well, if making things in Overwatch isn't up your alley, perhaps making things in Super Mario Brothers is. I know I'm looking forward to Super Mario Maker 2. I'm sure a lot of you guys are as well. And we have a date. Mario Maker 2 will be out on June 28th. It was announced in a tweet this past week. Hey, that's my birthday week, essentially, because my birthday's June 26th. It's not too early to start planning.
It's a y'all birthday week.
So, what do you mean?
You and Alan.
Alan is 2 weeks after me.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So close, because he's July 8th. We usually celebrate together around the 4th of July. It makes a really good time to celebrate. So, anyway, Mario Maker 2 was dated, and apparently some other things that were announced is that there's going to be a stylus. So it's going to be a special official stylus that will go with Super Mario Maker 2. It's going to be a pre-order bonus in Japan and Europe. We haven't heard about the U.S. yet, but we're going to hope that that's a thing. We haven't heard anything official yet. I don't see why would they leave us out? That would be very mean. I don't know. But what should be noted about Europe and the release of Super Mario Maker 2 over there is that it's going to be bundled with a year of Switch Online. If you pre-order Mario Maker 2 in Europe, you get the online Switch Online as well for a whole year. I don't believe Europe is getting the Twitch Prime thing that we're getting here. Granted, Twitch Prime isn't free, but it is interesting that maybe it's a different way to kind of at least give that same perk to the folks over in Europe where they can get a year of Switch Online. So there is that. You guys looking forward to Mario Maker 2? I know I am. I'm definitely picking that up. That's like a day one release for me. What about you, Logie?
Yeah, I'm getting day one. Definitely. All right.
Well, anyway, I'm sorry I have a mouthful of cookie again. I make some good fucking cookies though, right? Anyway. It'd also help if I had the right window pulled open. So, at any rate, Kingdom Hearts 3 Remind DLC has been announced with new secret endings. So basically, it was announced during the Kingdom Hearts Orchestra World of Tres concert that Nomura announced that there would be additional DLC. It's similar to a final mix thing, and the scenario is called Re:Mind. And it's going to have a limited cut episode and bosses, optional English voiceovers for the Japanese version, a secret episode and a boss. You'll also receive a new form and a new Keyblade as a free download. No date yet, but you know, the last thing that we got was the free critical mode, so that was for more challenging gameplay. There you go.
All right. So this is kind of a cool thing, especially since we are fans of Katamari Damacy. So we talked probably months ago about this website called noclip.website that allowed you to kind of fly through different 3D games to kind of check out the levels. So they had, you know, I think there was some of the, I want to say F-Zero was in there, but I know like they had, maybe it was Wipeout. Several different maps that you can fly through. Well, one of the games that the creator of the website, Jasper, wanted to have included on there but was unable to figure out the file format was Katamari. And, of course, he offered a $500 bounty to anybody who could reverse engineer the Katamari Damacy file formats to be able to port that into his website. Well, thankfully now that has happened, and he was able to get the data in there. So now you can actually fly through several of the levels from the game, thanks to some help from some friendly modders. So that's pretty cool. Does this mean now that we're going to get modded levels? Because I want modded levels. I'm hoping.
I sure hope so. I think that'll be I'm surprised that hasn't already happened where Katamari Damacy PC has been like altered to add these new levels and things, but this maybe is a step in that direction. I don't know.
Hopefully.
All right, well, one more story for you guys tonight, and then we're going to open up Discord. So if you want to join us live on the show, you want to talk to us, just join our Discord server, vognetwork.com, that's V-O-G network, or voicegeeksnetwork.com/Discord to get your invite, and it's all free. It's Discord. I think many of you are using it at this point. You can join in there, and then you just head on over to the green room and just shout out in the Orange Lounge Radio channel what you want to talk about, and we'll be pulling you guys on air to talk with us if you are interested. So anyway, before we get there, though, I want to talk about Snapchat. That's right. Snapchat. Do you guys actually use Snapchat at all? Probably not. I think it's more a thing that kids... Even I barely use Snapchat, but it's because I found that more people were watching Instagram stories than Snapchat stories, so I kind of went over there, which, by the way, follow me on Instagram at Mr. Rob Roberts, M.R. Rob Roberts. Anyway, but, you know, Snapchat and Bitmoji are, like, tied together. They own each other. Have you ever used Bitmoji? At all? Is that a thing? No? I've used Bitmoji. You create silly little avatars of yourself, and then you can, like, copy-paste them in certain poses and text messages. My sister uses it all the time when she sends me messages. So, anyway, interesting. We've kind of heard rumblings that Snapchat might be doing something involving gaming, and perhaps this is a sign of that. I don't know. But Snapchat earlier this week launched a Bitmoji for Games SDK. This will let game developers replace characters with Bitmoji. So that way, if somebody has downloaded that Bitmoji and created a little cartoon version of themselves, which that does, now you can insert that in a game. Essentially, it's basically like the Miis on Nintendo. But what Bitmoji is doing, and Snapchat, as the owners of that, what they're doing is basically opening that up to other people to make a game where you would feature the Bitmoji as the stars. It's kind of an interesting way to try to push that concept further. In a little pull quote here, they say, "Our vision is for gamers to open up their favorite game, regardless of what device it's on, and easily scan and play to bring their Bitmoji directly into the game. At the option to choose an avatar or character, gamers will be shown a snap code on screen, prompting them to scan the code via a Snapchat to link the account and play as your own Bitmoji." So there is support right now for Unity, Unreal, and Play Canvas, which is a British VR company, already in Snapchat. That's, you know, especially what's interesting about that is that essentially they're saying that's not limited to just phones then. You would be able to do this on, like, if you wanted to, I guess, a PlayStation 4 game or a PC game, and by scanning that link, then it's kind of like when you, I don't know, validate Netflix or something using a device code instead of actually signing in. So it sounds kind of neat. I don't know, Loki, you think developers may actually use this? Do you think this is a good move for Bitmoji?
I'm sure someone will use it. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be like a must-have thing. But I'm sure someone will use it. Obviously, they think someone's going to use it.
Bonds006 in our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, "I actually like that Bitmoji concept." And Dark Tetsuya says, "Doesn't Mr. Smush have an Instagram, or am I remembering wrong?"
And he does, and so does Midna.
Sia Tabiri got it right. It's at Mr., but the Mr. spelled out for Mr. Smush, M-I-S-T-E-R, Smush. And Midna is at, Middle Patiddles or something?
Patiddles.
Patiddles.
P-A-T-I-D-D-L-E-S.
There you go.
Because her nickname is Middles Patiddles.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was like some type of play on that. So anyway, if you want to follow all the pets of OLR, you can do that. So, Dark Tetsuya, talking about the Bitmoji, says, "Remind me of what Nintendo and Microsoft did with their avatars." Oh, yeah, of course. Microsoft had the avatar stuff, too. Couldn't you put avatars in the Xbox XNA games? That was the thing you were able to do for a short minute. Yeah, because I remember, like, a lot of the big downloads were avatar-based games there. So, kind of interesting that Bitmoji's kind of bringing that back, but not necessarily just on one platform. So, that's pretty cool. Anyway, let's open up the listener roundtable. So if you would like to participate with the show, you sure can. You can just join our Discord server. You can also send us a question in chat if you so desire. That is an option as well. So let me bring up Discord here on the computer. While we wait to see if anybody wants to call, Loki, I don't know if you have any last-minute stories, but I'm going to hand you the mic just in case because I'm trying to multitask here.
And I don't, unfortunately. So I guess we'll just have to sit here in silence. No, just kidding. No, I was just reading up on that Luminary site and how people are jumping ship on it. I don't know. I think it's going to be a hot flash and then gone.
I think so, too. I think they botched it way too hard. It's a bummer because they could have partnered with some of us, perhaps, and maybe been a little more successful. And it's not even about the money. It's about the whole, like, not asking and, like, anyway, I don't want to go out to a negative space. I'm not going to. But I see you're on a gaming forum, so I assume we're not the only gaming podcast bitching about it. So I'm sure there's other people as well. So anyway, some thoughts in chat. Some folks following up on talk about Bitmoji. Kaijudo says, 1 versus 100, use the avatars. Tiger Claw says, my Samsung Galaxy S9 has a thing called AR emojis. Basically, you take a picture of yourself, and the software on the phone will create an emoji based on what you look like. The 3DS did that too, right? Like, it wasn't great, but it did have a version of that, I think. And Dark Tetsuya says, I think one of the Keflings games, that's right, the Kingdom of Keflings or whatever it was called, used the avatars. So the concept of having you in a game certainly isn't new. I think Mii Fighters, hello, everybody knows that one. So that concept isn't particularly new.
Well, I have an announcement.
Okay.
If you are in Northern California for the weekend of May 17th, 18th, and 19th, it's a Golden State Pinball Festival.
Oh, fun.
We will have some of our tables there.
Yeah, we should go.
I went last year after DragCon. It was really fun. Thankfully, it's not the same weekend as DragCon.
We should film some movies there.
Absolutely. But I just wanted to make sure to mention it that I will be all there all day Friday, half a day Saturday, and to help wrap up on Sunday.
Where's that? Is that in Dixon or is
it's
that the
in
one?
Lodi.
Lodi. Like, it moved from one place to another. Okay, it's
well,
in Lodi
because
now.
It used to be the same thing as Pinagogo, yeah. And then Pinagogo became a separate thing still in Dixon.
Oh, I didn't even know they were separate. I don't
like to go to Pinagogo because of the corn pollen.
Okay.
And no air conditioning. This place is air conditioning and has good food.
You know where I still have never been that we really need to take an OLR trip to? And I'm just like, I've shocked myself.
Pacific
I haven't been
Pinball
there. The Alameda. No, the Alameda.
Pinball Museum. Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost went there the other day. We should go.
Yet I went to that place in Vegas. And I haven't.
I went there.
Oh,
Tiara took me there to their old location across from the Liberace Museum.
That's right, because they moved.
And I had played Pinball Circus.
Were you here the week I brought back video, or were you not back from your hiatus yet? I don't remember.
Probably still in hiatus.
Tiger Claw just sent a picture from his phone took of him. That's not a bad. It's not bad resemblance. You don't have enough scruff, Tiger Claw. I don't know if the thing didn't pick up your facial hair, or maybe when you took the picture. But otherwise, it's not too shabby. I wonder what mine would look like. Alan is supposedly getting a new phone. Do you know why Alan has to get a new phone? He dropped his old phone so many times that the screen is flickering so bad he can't play Pokemon Go. So he has to get a new phone.
One of us.
No, he's not going to jump ship to the
Apple
front.
I roll so hard.
Nah, I don't mind being a biphonal household. We get the best of both worlds here in this house. It's all good. All right. Well, unfortunately, nobody is wanting to call in, so that's okay. People are doing that. If it's not in movies or TV shows, they're watching the end of the world in one place or another. So whatever, it's fine. I'm not going to be personally hurt or anything. No, but anyway, let's get everybody's final thought. So, and wrap up the show. First, let me say, as I always say here at OLR, thank you so much for downloading this show and checking us out. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to put out there for all to consume. So please help us spread the word. We would really appreciate it. Hosting on Twitch, adding VOG Network to your auto host list goes a long, long way, let me tell you. So if you don't mind doing that, that is like probably one of the biggest things you could do for us is putting us on your auto host list. I know some of you have already done that, so thank you very much for that. That's it. I think it's time for final thoughts. So since I have the microphone, I'll start. My final thought is that music sure died 15 minutes into the show tonight. I hope it's not going to be awkward between me and the neighbors now.
I just saw people walking out.
You think the party was just planned to be done? Who ends a party at 6:30?
Maybe it's a football game. Is it football or baseball or some sport?
Maybe they really were going to go watch Game of Thrones. I don't know. Is it that
maybe.
Maybe. Who knows?
People do that shit.
Yeah, who knows? Anyway, Dark Soccer, your final thought.
I've been sitting here reorganizing the time off that I've taken at work because I realized I took a whole day when I only have 5 hours. So I now have my time off planned clear up until July 1st. And by the way, I won't be here June 30th for San Francisco Pride.
My final thought is that I'm going to try to work more on games and playing them and making them. And yeah.
Since you brought up Pride before I pull the plug for tonight's show, are you going to Sacramento Pride?
One of the days.
Did you hear who they have closing the show on Sunday?
It's Lizzo.
I'm so upset that we have this show. I was actually told on Twitter, cancel the show and go see Lizzo. And I thought about it, but it's like
what day is it again?
It's like 2 weeks after we're already off for Chicago. So, or for me, Chicago, you DragCon.
Listeners,
so.
Would you be mad at Rob for going to see Lizzo?
No, here's the thing. No, don't answer that. Because the reality is we're going to be in Sacramento heat by June. All those people, all that heat outside, it's not the environment for me.
Girl, that's why you sit in the depot and lean out the window, because you will have a view of the... Oh, no, that's right, because it's not... Park. That's the Rainbow Festival.
Yep.
It's going to be on the lawn. Shit.
Yeah, so it's fine. I'm
I don't like Lizzo that much.
I'm a piece of... Oh, how dare you. I love her.
Well, but she's also a Coachella supporter, so I'm mad at her.
Well, yeah. But anyway.
Because remember, the owner of Coachella supports anti-gay charities as well and has personally donated Coachella proceeds to it.
I went to Coachella in 2002, long before like any of this was brought to light or whatever. It was, speaking about hot being in the sun too long and being over it, that was Coachella for me.
That's why I've only gone once.
But I'll tell you what you're going to say, worth it, okay? When I went to Coachella, I'm sure I've told you this story, but I'm going to remind you. It was the Chemical Brothers for the last performance. Bjork before that.
Yeah, duh.
Oh, no, get this. Before Bjork, Susie and the Banshees.
Ooh, okay, I would have done that.
Yeah, right? Oh, we found your ZZT. And on that note, that's it, everybody.
No, I wouldn't go to Coachella for Susie, because that means that she'd be doing a tour anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I think they were that year. So, yeah. Anyway, that's it. We're out of here. Have a good night, everybody. What would Susie say? Kiss them for me. I don't know. That's it.
No, she peekaboo. She would raise an eyebrow. One of her finely manicured, thick, black as death eyebrows.
Good night. Fade to black.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into fognetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.